And welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining us, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Potatoes.
Not potatoes. MIA, for whatever reason, we can't get a hold of him, is our newest team member, Hunter. We don't know where he is. We can't get in touch with him.
He's in space. He got his ass to Mars.
Yeah, we have no idea what's happening. We really just no clue. So we texted him, we called him. He's not on Skype, so maybe he'll join us later. I don't know. But we do have a guest this week joining us back from someone just said in the chat they texted him to. Joining us, you may remember Joe Mastriani from our TIE Fighters show, host of the Upper Memory Block podcast. Welcome back, Joe.
Hello, hello. Maybe Hunter's stuck in a gravity well or something.
Or a time loop.
There you go.
No, he got hit by an interdictor. There's an interdictor around him. He can't hyperspace out. There you go. We're talking Star Wars games this week, guys, because when we talked TIE Fighter a few months ago, we kind of went on tangents of all these other Star Wars games. So I figured, why don't we have a talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, what we love, what we hate. Because there's a lot to talk about in Star Wars gaming. There's a lot of, wow, it's kind of, it's not as crazy as Star Trek gaming, but it's close.
It goes all kinds of directions, that's for sure.
Well, you don't have anything like Borg, you know, do you? Do you have anything close to like the trivia show? You don't talk about the Star Trek trivia show game with Q? I don't think you have anything really close to that in Star Wars gaming that I can think of.
Probably not on that probably would have been like way earlier, like before video games were a thing. Like there would have been a lot of novelty products like deodorant and, you know, Spaceballs, the coloring book, all that.
Oh,
stuff.
God. Yeah, that was great stuff. But Joe, I want to talk to you about your podcast for a second, not just to pimp it, but you just played just tonight you released the podcast of a favorite game of mine of the 90s, Crusader No Remorse.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and No Regret. You did them both.
Yeah, right? I kind of do the series if I can.
So I'm remembering correctly from listening to your last podcast, which was, I believe, Spycraft, if I'm remembering, which is great, by the way. I want to play that now. But you had not played them before?
No, I had not. It was one of those games. I knew the box. I always said, hey, it's that game with that guy that looks like Red Boba Fett.
Oh, and what? I wonder if that
was intentional, that they were trying to capture
the Boba Fett lightning. It has to be.
You know,
well, if you listen to the episode, you will find out.
He looks identical to actually a clone trooper. So I wonder if they loop back and they said, hey, let's base the clone troopers on that guy that was based on Stormtrooper or Boba Fett or whatever. Yeah.
So apparently it was unintentional.
Really?
So it was apparently based on the helmets of the Spartans.
Oh yeah. Okay. Having seen 300 multiple times, I could. Okay. I see that. Yeah.
And that's the same reason that his armor is red, because of their red cloaks. Also because it's easier to see a big red blob on the screen as opposed
to.
Yeah. And so what they actually did is they started showing it around to people, like the concept art, saying, oh, we want to make it look like this. And then even like all the people on the team were like, oh, sort of looks like Boba Fett. And finally the lead designer dude was basically like, you know what? I like Boba Fett. It's fine.
God damn it. Boba Fett's great. So what did you think of it? I just want to hear, because you hadn't played it before, and I was just going to say, I think I mentioned this earlier, I finished both of them. I don't finish a lot of games, but I finished both of them, and I loved them, but I tried revisiting them once they hit GOG a couple of years ago, I think. I could not get a handle on the controls. I just couldn't do it. So what did you think of... It was the numeric keypad or something, right?
Yeah, it's the numeric keypad or the mouse or some combination thereof.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So it's one of those. So let me put it this way. I kind of referred to this game as a combat RPG without the RPG. Like, it really reminded me of you know, like Diablo, of Fallout, originally the first two Fallouts, like, you know, the whole isometric dungeon crawler kind of thing. And I think there's a reason that, you know, all the Diablo games are click fests, because that works. It's tiring. It hurts your finger after a while, but it works. You click somewhere, the guy walks there. If there's a dude there, he hits him. And it's simple, it's straightforward, and it just plain works. Now, with this, it's exactly that. The controls are just, like, painful. Like, you have to figure out there's... So you have the numeric keypad, and if numlock is off, then the arrow keys work in relation to the screen. So if you push up, he goes up. If you push diagonal left, he goes up diagonal left.
Before the ability to remap keys was invented, right?
Oh, yeah. There was no remapping of anything. So, yeah, basically, You do all this stuff, and that cassette of control is great for walking around. Then when you want to fight, you have to hit numlock, and then you start controlling rotation and stuff. And if you rotate the wrong way, then you start getting shot and you get killed. And the rotation is painfully slow. So it's like, oh, I turned the wrong way, crap. And it's like 5 minutes of the guy, like, turning around. Yeah. Meanwhile, you're getting shot in the face over and over again. And so what I will say is that the controls are a big barrier to entry.
Yeah.
Once you get used to them, you still screw up. I'm not going to lie. Like, it still sucks. But there is actually fun in there. Like, it's a fun game. It's a really fun game. And once you get over the controls, it's not bad. My only other gripe is that I find the missions are way too long.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, you really can't save during the mission. Am I remembering?
No, you can save anywhere you want. So that's the saving grace. They're long, but you can save anywhere.
Forgot. Okay.
So overall, I think I gave it a mild recommend kind of a thing. I said I can't go outright and just say play the game because it's incredibly frustrating.
Right.
But there is a lot of fun there, and it's an origin game, right? So there's all this background information. And actually, to relate it directly to space games, is actually if you go into Wing Commander, and you go in like all the background stuff, and you read like the history of the Terran Confederation, there is a reference to the WEC, the World Economic Consortium, from Crusader.
Oh, son of a bitch!
And that is the thing that the Confederation actually replaced. It's really just, it's an Easter egg. Like, they've acknowledged, no, they don't take, it's not the same universe, it's an Easter egg. But it's just one of those things, like a whole bunch, and there's all kinds of other things, like in System Shock, there's references to, like, a movie about Crusader, and it's all these little things, and all the Origin games, they're all, like, referencing each other. It's hilarious.
That's pretty awesome. I loved the hell out of those games. So I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to do the mail thing that we talked about, but I'm really excited to hear your show on that, because those games are legendary in my mind, you know, and the fact that they got the guy behind them,
Zurovec. I just said his name like 800 times, so I should.
Oh my god, yeah, they got him on Starsis, and gives me a little more hope about that game.
Yeah, he's managing the persistent world stuff.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting.
And I kind of joked like maybe we'll see some Crusader references kind of floating around on some stations or something like that.
You'll dock at a station. There'll be a guy in a bar in this red suit that looks really close, but not quite.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a straw going into the bottom of the helmet because he won't take the helmet off. So we're here, though, to talk about Star Wars games, getting to our topic. Now, I wanted to talk about like all the games we play, because there are so many of these. And I wanted to kind of start at the beginning. So, Joe, since you're the guest, we'll start first. What is the first Star Wars game you remember playing?
The first Star Wars game I remember playing, it's a very vague memory, and I actually was on another podcast talking about this stuff, so I actually pulled this out of the dregs of my mind. I actually did play Star Wars Arcade.
Oh, you mean the original one from the...
Yeah, like the super original, like, Vector
wireframe thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the shit. That game was amazing. I mean, the thing about that game is the control is what made it work. That weird stick thing they had.
Yeah, and you have to, like, rotate it.
Yeah.
A guy that has started machining replacement flight yokes for that system, because if you want to create your own Star Wars arcade cabinet, it's impossible to get the controls. So there's a guy that was doing it, and the holdup that he had, he was having a problem with the powder coating of them, and you know, where it would come off. So that was the last time I checked on it, but that was like a year and some ago. So he may have perfected it now.
That's really cool.
That's great because, yeah, I've tried playing like emulated versions of the arcade, and it just doesn't work without that crazy yoke thing.
Yeah, well, it's cool with a mouse. It's not so bad. I mean,
but it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. It feels like
cheating. It doesn't feel right at all. Yeah, it feels really cheating. It feels like you're really cheating.
And the thing that you definitely miss with emulated versions is I actually didn't know this until I talked about it on the other podcast I was on, but it didn't use a standard screen. It used a vector monitor.
Mm-hmm. What? What the hell is a vector monitor?
So what it would do is there was a monitor there, but basically the gun, like the CRT kind of electron gun, it doesn't like do every line. Like all it does is it draws the vectors.
Yeah. Do you remember Vectrex?
Oh, I had a Vectrex.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the deal with the Vectrex.
Oh. Was
instead of doing a raster thing where it will light, you know, because the beam would track left to right across the screen and then do every line on the screen, right? And that's actually how whenever you had a Nintendo and you're using the light gun, that's how light gun games worked, is it would know where on the screen that beam was. And yeah, and that's actually why the screen would flash. They would flash the screen white briefly to give a maximum intensity beam, and wherever the gun was at, and it would know the timing of your screen, so then it could be like, oh, he's aiming at this part of the screen.
Right, so he hit or he missed or whatever, yeah.
But you could never hit the dog. So
stupid dog!
Knack is saying that's what oscilloscopes also use.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that. It's like a crazy oscilloscope.
Well, it's like asteroids.
Knack just said asteroids.
Yeah, asteroids, chat. Tempest, all those groovy games from old.
Speaking of the chat room, these questions will be for you guys too. So for you guys in the chat room, what was the first Star Wars game you played? I'm going to read them as you hit us up with them. Jim, what about you?
I would say it's probably Star Wars Arcade because did the Empire Strikes Back game for the 2600 come out first?
See, that's where my memory was fuzzy because I played the arcade game, but my memory first went to that Empire Strikes Back game for the 2600.
Where you're like shooting the camels with the spaceship.
Yeah. The at camel. Yeah, that's exactly
it was Jeff Minter actually wrote because he does everything as camels and llamas and stuff, right? At LlamaSoft. And he actually did. It was like Atomic Llama Fighter or something. But it was that game. It was a clone of, and they were actually camels.
So it does look like I'm on Wikipedia's list of Star Wars video games, and yeah, Empire Strikes Back for the 2600 and the Intellivision came out in 82, and Arcade came out in 83.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia tells me, and we all know that Wikipedia is always right.
So we got a couple guys in the chat saying Arcade came out first.
Well, this is saying there's a year, so I don't know.
Wow.
You'd have to go in and look at it.
See, if you asked me, I would have said it too.
I would have said
Arcade game came out first because that's what it felt like. But I guess I'm shocked. That's really shocking.
I remember the line at the arcade whenever I first went in, because when I went to the mall and I still – do you ever do this? Like when you go to a mall, you look around like expecting to see an arcade, but there's not, and then you get hit by the sadness. And then, and it happens like every time I go back home, right? Cause I go to Belden Village and whenever you came in the front door of the mall, there was an Aladdin's castle immediately
on the
right. Oh my
God, Aladdin's castle. Yes.
Yeah. I still have tokens. I got them in my car and I found them, you know, whenever we went to clean my mom's house out, she still had some on top of the washing machine in the basement that she'd like pulled out of pants way back when. And, so I cleaned them up and. Yeah, but I remember coming in the door of the mall, and there was people like in a crowd, just standing around this machine because apparently they had like just got it out hours before, and it was like I couldn't see what machine they were looking at. So it was
that's how
like,
big the crowd was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And they made it, they put a monitor up on top of it so that you could stand back and actually see.
Oh, that's, the game. I didn't know they could do that, but that's pretty great.
Yeah, some of these
cabinets had like a little breakout video port that you could plug into an external monitor for spectacle. Yeah.
Wow, that was the height of technology back in 1983.
Oh yeah. Apparently. Yeah, I remember the only game other than that I remember such a crowd for is when Rampage came out. There was a bunch of people standing around Rampage.
Rampage. Yeah. That was so great.
Still, and it's actually interesting because I was so young, like when I must have seen the game more like in 85, 86 kind of a thing, because I was one in 1982, so probably don't remember that. But I went back and I looked into it just to kind of remind myself of, you know, how the game played. And the game plays in three stages. So there's like the you do attack fighters outside, you know, away a bit away from the Death Star. Then there's the attack on the Death Star surface, and then there's the trench run.
Right, right.
And that is, and I didn't really figure that was really based in the movies. Like, there wasn't like, now we're attacking the fighters outside of the Death Star, now we're attacking turrets on the surface, and now we're going into the trench. That's not how the movie happened, really. But
if you watch the movie, like it is actually, because they fought on the surface a little bit.
They did, yeah. They did fight on the surface. So yeah. I guess that first part with the TIE fighters like away didn't happen, because that's kind of level one. Is there's TIE fighters coming at you when you're still not when you're approaching the Death Star.
It's there, but it's quick. Yeah. So, but if you watch, and I highly recommend that you do this. There's the Adiwan edit of Star Wars, the New Hope.
What?
Adiwan, A-D-Y. Yeah, A-D-Y-W-A-N, Adiwan. And then and it's called like A New Hope Revisited. And what they did is they took stuff from the Blu-ray, they took stuff from, you know, like all the sources, and basically reassembled the original of what you saw on the screen. And then he goes in with digital enhancements, like stuff that Lucas...
theatrical cut Blu-ray.
Right.
Basically.
And then... so what he ended up doing, though, is he reorders some of the scenes in there. So remember when, like, Walrus Man gets up and, you know, he's, like, at the bar, and then dude with the screwed-up nose gets in Luke's face and whatever? So he pulls a gun out, and Ben, like, whips his lightsaber out and cuts off a dude's arm. But it's the Walrus guy's arm, right, laying on the floor, yes. And there's blood. So the guy's like, well, wait. It wasn't him. It was the human guy with the scarred up face that pulled the gun. Why did they have the other guy's arm? And why is there blood? It's a lightsaber. So he fixed that. He made it the other guy's arm and no blood. Stuff like that. I mean, it's just like little attention to detail that he went through and fixed Lucas. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah. I have these remastered versions that I downloaded a while back, but they're not the same as this.
Yeah, this is a whole other animal.
Cool.
And then, so in the Death Star attack scene, he actually reordered a bunch of the scenes in the dogfights to make it flow better. So, because there's a lot of stuff where it cuts away, and then, you know, they'll cut back, and stuff just wasn't quite in the right order. So he reordered it. And then he put a bunch of TIE fighters in the background and a bunch of new X-Wings and Y-Wings. You know, because it's like you see the Y-Wings show up and then you never see them again, right? Well,
you see one flying away at the end. That was the last
right. So he inserted Y-Wings in the background, what? In the scenes and stuff. And there's TIE fighters like everywhere. You know how in Return of the Jedi – How they had at the Endor attack, and there was like just a shitload of TIE fighters. He did that, right? He just put like a cloud of TIE fighters around the Death Star, and
which there should be, like,
sense. You would think there would be, yeah,
right. So he made it like a real thing, you know, and that scene where the X-Wings are like, you know, What do they call it? The S-foils, right? Where they go into attack position. So they show, like, And there was like five X-Wings, right? It looks like, oh yeah, we brought like five dudes, right? It's all a Red Squadron going to take on the Death Star. Well, then he added like, you know, 20 more X-Wings. So
yeah, it's like there weren't like 300 of them, but there were more than five.
Right. So it was like, you know, it looked like something, some assets were available at the time, right? So yeah. But anyway, excellent edit of the film. I prefer it to any other. Cool. Yeah, because he does. He fixes consistency problems and makes things make sense. It's a better
movie. Very cool.
So, yep.
So yeah, all basically, right. I brought that up because I noticed a bit of a parallel, let's say. So we have this three phases of the arcade game. The last three missions of X-Wing Tour 3 are that. They're exactly the same.
Oh. Huh.
So it's kind of clearing out the fighter screen, attacking the surface, and then the trench run. So it's all, and you know, maybe that's based on the movie, but I thought it was interesting that the two versions, like the original Star Wars arcade and X-Wing, have this same three stage kind of attack on the Death Star.
Oh yeah, God, the arcade games are pretty good too. Was there an Empire Strikes Back arcade game? I don't remember there being one. I remember a Return of the Jedi arcade game.
Yes,
though,
there was
balls
an Empire.
Hard.
Yes, it was. There was indeed an Empire Strikes Back. So it plays exactly like the original one. You know, the yoke and the vector thing. Except that the beginning level is the attack on Hoth, and you're trying to shoot probe droids, right? And they have like transmission bubbles that come up off of them, like, you know, it's weird. It's almost like a Wi-Fi symbol, right? And they like fly off of the things. So you have to like shoot those guys and shoot down their radio signals or, you know, bad whatever, right? So, and they shoot at you, right? So then the next scene is the scout walkers, and then you get to the big AT-ATs, and it's actually like giant vector yellow AT-ATs on the screen. Wow. And stuff, yeah.
They actually look pretty good.
Really?
Like, yeah,
the AT-ATs look kind of cool.
For the time, it was, yeah.
And actually what that was a conversion kit for the original, like, cabinet, basically. I guess it's another PCB or something that you'd swap in, and then, boom, it was Empire Strikes Back.
Wow. Okay. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah, oh, and then there was a Millennium Falcon flying thing.
What?
Yeah. It was
the asteroid field?
Yes, the asteroid field.
Yeah, it must have been that.
Yeah, it was it.
That's
it,
the only way.
Yeah, it was the asteroid field.
I never saw that. I wonder if it didn't make it.
I never saw one in the wild, but I've played it on MAME.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing that in the arcade. I saw.
Oh my God, do you have a GameCube?
No.
Oh, it's hidden in Rogue Squadron 3 for the GameCube.
Wait, is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
What?
I'm looking at an article here. It's a guy shows you how to unlock it. That's
wild.
I kind of want a GameCube because Nat keeps telling me about Rogue Squadron 2, which apparently is amazing.
Yeah, play it on Dolphin. It works pretty well.
Dolphin?
Yeah, the emulator for it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to try that.
You know, the other Star Wars game that people just really don't talk about is it – what the hell is it called? It's like a Rogue Squadron game, but it's not. And it's got, like, that other character –
Shadows of the Empire?
Yeah, I think Shadows of the Empire. Yeah. So I've heard that one is like the best of those, although I have not played it. So
I have heard mixed about that one. I've never played it, but I know I know some people in the past who loved it, and I know some people who said it was shit. So I don't really know.
Hmm.
So I have Shadows of the Empire story.
Go for it.
So basically, I didn't have an N64, and none of my friends had an N64. Or sorry, was it N64? Was it on N64?
GameCube.
Yeah, right.
Sorry,
GameCube.
N64.
No, it was N64.
Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah, it was N64, and none of us had an N64. And somehow, one of my friends ended up getting his hands on one. He didn't buy it; it wasn't his, and it went away at a certain point. But for one summer, maybe about a couple of weeks in one summer, he had an N64 and he had Shadows of the Empire. And what we would do was basically take this N64 and we would throw it in a backpack and we would go to whoever's house was available. We'd plug it into whichever TV we could find and we would play through Shadows of the Empire kind of in a group. I think there were like three or four of us that would kind of rotate through. So I saw most of the game. I played some of the game.
Oh, jeez.
It was like just this weird nomadic, like it wasn't really a LAN party because we only had one controller and we were playing a single player game anyways.
Right.
But it was like this weird group experience. And I remember it was a fun game. Like, I think if we go back now, it probably wouldn't be as good. And I think that there's a Windows version that came out.
Yes, there was, but it's not very playable. I downloaded a ROM for it, and it just, under Windows 8, just forget it.
Well, I mean, those like Win9X, I guess, was it Win3.1 or Windows 95?
It was 95, yeah. But
those
still
are notoriously awful to get running.
Yeah, but yeah. I did actually, I downloaded Rogue Squadron from Good Old Games, and it's not bad, but it's not very good. Not at all. So, Brian, if you check the...
Better than Rebel Assault, not as good as Rogue Squadron 2.
Yes, anything's better than a Rebel Assault game. So, Brian, if click that link I put in the Skype chat. That's actually the Empire Strikes Back arcade game.
I will watch that later. I'm not going to watch that right now while we're streaming.
No, I just took 2 seconds of it. You'd know what it looked like. But
I will.
Okay.
But there are so many. I'm looking at this list on Wikipedia, and there are so many games I've never heard of. Like, what was the one I was just looking at? There was a Millennium Falcon one that came out a while back. Yeah, there's Trench Run. There's Superstar. I never had a Nintendo, like an NES or a Sega, but there are a lot of games for that apparently.
Yeah, there were a lot of like platformers. I don't know if there were a lot of them, but there were like, let's see here, which one am I looking for?
Super Star Wars on the...
Oh yeah, there was...
Super Star Wars, Star Wars Attack on the Death Star, which was, what, for a PC 9801? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that one I never played.
There was a Famicom Star Wars game, and there were games for the Game Boy, and there's a pinball game. Ah, but I remember some of these, like, Death Star Battle. Yeah, I had Death Star Battle for the Atari 2600. That game was stupid.
was that the one where you flew a Millennium Falcon? It was almost like Yar's Revenge, where there was like a shield zone.
Basically, Yar's Revenge with different sprites.
That's pretty much what it was. Kind of going sideways. Because Yar's Revenge went sideways. It was a vertical thing, if I recall. Yeah. This was horizontal.
Right.
But it was otherwise.
They made it crazy and different.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Now Lance in the chat brought up a game I was going to bring up because I have a fondness for this one, Yoda's Stories. Remember Yoda's Stories?
Never played Yoda's Stories, but now I last time I talked about it, I actually want to.
LucasArts tried to release, I think they called them coffee break games.
They're basically like, they're casual games. They're like,
yeah,
they should be on your phone now. Like they should be released on mobile.
They're not roguelikes, you know, at all, but they call them like coffee break games. I think they were called, coffee break adventures or something.
Like they were supposed to last like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Something they had a couple of them. It was this, and then there was Indiana Jones.
I think Indiana Jones was the first one.
No, this is the first one.
Oh, this was the first one? Okay.
No. It was preceded. You're right. It was preceded.
Yeah. The indie one came out first.
Which I forgot about that. Oh, apparently the game is procedurally generated according to,
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it would kind of be like it's like Star Wars Mad Libs, like, you know, hey Luke, go get 10 horns, whatever, and then come back and
they should do a Star Wars roguelike if nobody has done it yet.
You know what? Why haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, roguelikes are kind of in right now.
Yeah, speaking of roguelikes, by the way. That one you were telling me about, the robot
Cogmine?
One? Cogmine. Holy shit.
It's amazing, right?
That's all I can say. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Just saying, folks, Cogmind. There's a video on the YouTube channel. Amazing! It's not a space game, but whatever. It's amazing. Anyway, yeah, Yoda Story. I played the fuck out of Yoda Stories back in the day. I played the shit out of that. I played it so much I started seeing all the same shit over and over again.
I guess it wasn't that procedural.
Well, I mean, the levels kind of were, but if I recall, the goals, like, they eventually did kind of get repetitive.
Pick two things from two lists, yeah, and eventually you've done all the combinations, right?
Exactly. So it did kind of get repetitive, but I enjoyed the fuck out of that one. Like, the 90s had some really crazy Star Wars games. Like, you had good stuff, like Yoda Stories and Shadows of the Empire. Then you had Rebellion. Remember Rebellion?
I like Rebellion.
I love Rebellion.
Yeah. Actually, my next UMB cast is going to be on Rebellion.
Yes!
So look forward to that in
I am looking forward to that. Oh my god, I love the fuck out of Rebellion. It's like the closest thing we really have to Crusader Kings in space.
Right. It's like Star Wars 4X, basically.
Yeah, but with character. It's a character-driven strategy game, like Crusader Kings, where you move characters around and they do missions and they can get in trouble and you gotta get them out of trouble. It's so... I mean, the interface at the time was jacked.
Yeah, it was definitely a clunky game, but it was just trying to do so much, and it did it not badly, if I remember. I'm gonna be playing the crap out of it over the next 2 weeks, so...
Only try the combat once to say you did it.
Right.
And never do it again. Just auto that shit, because the combat is terrible.
Though I always liked watching it.
That's true. It wasn't bad to watch, because at the time you're like, ooh, this is the best thing ever. And, you know, 1997 or whatever. You know, it's like, ooh, or 98. Like, this is amazing. And then you're like, you look at it now, you're like, oh my god.
Because I guess it was cool, because you never really had the opportunity to, like, have fleets go into battle. Like, you know, you had X-Wing, and it was just you, but here it's like, I got Star Destroyers, and TIE Fighters, and cruisers, and...
Bring up an interesting point. There's really only, like, two games that have given us that capability, isn't there? There's that, and there's the one from... what the fuck was it called? What was that one called? Empire at War.
Yes.
And that was it. Those are the only two that really gave us kind of like strategic control over Star Wars ships.
Yeah, but see, the Empire at War, which brings in the whole Age of Empires reskinned as Star Wars games.
No. That's Battle.
It's Galactic Battlegrounds.
That's Battlegrounds.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. I thought Empire at War was actually that.
No. Empire at War has two different parts. It has a ground part, which is
And
then it has a space part, which is pretty damn good, actually. Like, it actually has, like, a meta campaign for the space part where you can move fleets around planets and take shit over. Mm. And it's pretty good. If they got rid of the ground part entirely...
Right, that's what I'm saying, is that the ground part is just like the Age of Empires stuff.
Well,
it's an RTS.
It's not a good one.
The ground stuff in Empire at War is not great.
Yeah, and the story stuff, it's all like scripted too. It's not even like a skirmish thing. It's just bad.
I want to say Galactic Battlegrounds wasn't great either, but
it wasn't. Oh, and there's also Force Commander. Let's not forget Force Commander, which is also shit.
So we haven't had a good Star Wars RTS.
No, we really haven't. Rebellion is in real time, but that doesn't really count, does it?
It's not really the same, yeah.
That really isn't the same. No, we really haven't had a good Star Wars. And you know what? That's, like, ripe, you would think. Like, shit in the Clone... Have you seen the Clone Wars cartoon? There is, like, shit that is made for an RTS in there.
Oh, no, it should be completely epic.
Oh, my God. And, like, they just... I don't know why they just have not been able to do it.
But then there's the
getting back to Rebellion for just one sec.
Go for it.
I had
talked about Rebellion all day.
I had a buddy and he loved playing Empire, and you know, you like name your capital ships, right? So he would make all these Star Destroyers, and he had this thing where he would always he had the dictionary open, and he went to the IN section, because you know you have like the Indomitable and the Intimidator and, you know, all these very like intimidating, powerful Star Destroyer names. But he would just go through the list and he didn't care what they meant, so he had like the Star Destroyer Inebriator.
That's great.
I'm like, yeah, that's probably the ineffective one. Just keep smashing into stuff. They don't turn fast enough. They miss all the time.
No, that is fantastic.
Don't drink in Death Star.
There you go.
Don't drink an Imperial. Don't drink. Friends don't let friends drink an Imperial. Yeah, so there really hasn't been a good RTS. Or a turn-based. Has there been a turn-based Star Wars game? I don't think so.
Let's see.
I can't think of one.
I think
because Star Wars is very action-y, right? Like, that's kind of the whole point of it.
It's very action-y, but, I mean, there's so many. The universe is so ripe for so many different things. But for the most part, it's combat and racing and combat and racing. And Lego.
Lots of Lego.
Hey, the Lego. I just got Lego Clone Wars because all that. I don't know if you guys didn't get IST touch my butt. Someone said Lance channel. That's great. I played the original Lego Star Wars games, which are amazing if you haven't played them, folks, by the way. They're incredible. I got the Clone Wars one because I was watching Clone Wars. I was like, okay, I have to play this. It's so good. It's better, I think, than the original trilogy ones.
Really?
I need to check it out because I got
it's a Lego one?
The only one I ever played was on the DS.
Oh, they were just on sale for like $5 each. If you can, keep an eye. The summer sale's hitting in like a week or two. I think so. Hopefully they'll go on sale again because Clone Wars is really fucking good. The Lego one. Oh my God. It's amazing that the Lego Star Wars games are some of the best Star Wars games like ever.
It's sad, but it's amazing.
In a way it's sad and in a way it's not because Lego has because Star Wars, you think it's science fiction. It kind of is, but it's also fantasy. It's more
space opera.
It's space fantasy because you have
there's a little bit of a Western in there.
Yeah, and there's Western, there's fantasy, there's sci-fi, but I mean they don't talk about science fiction very much. They don't talk about how the ships work.
No, they just work. The thing is, George Lucas was the original Quentin Tarantino. Okay, because he invented nothing. He just took things from other older movies and mashed it together and put a skin on it. And it worked.
Right. Like there was a dive bombing movie apparently that took. Mm.
And then a lot of Hidden Fortress.
Dambusters movie, I think it was.
Dambusters.
Yeah.
And then Hidden Fortress. There's a lot of that.
Right.
And,
right. Yeah.
And so then Captain EO.
That was after.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Star Trek.
Yeah,
it was Captain EO.
It was basically inspired by all the old serials he would watch as a kid.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's weird how there's some genre gaps in Star Wars gaming. I mean, there were a couple of Star Trek RTSs, but there aren't many of those either.
Not really, because, I mean, is like Starfleet Command, is that like...
Those are more like tactical starships.
Yeah, that's. I'm not really thinking those were RTSs.
There was Away Team, which is kind of a Commandos style RTS, and then there was New Worlds, which was god-smackingly awful. I mean, we're almost talking Starfleet Command, Starfleet Academy awful.
Starfleet Academy.
Oh God. But getting back to Star Trek, I could talk about Star Wars games too all night. But, it's weird how there are some genres that, like, Star Wars kind of touched, but, like, didn't really dive into as much as they could have, you know? Like, if you look at the list here, most of the Star Wars games seem to be either some kind of shooter, either a first-person, third-person shooter, or a spaceship shooter, or, like, a ground shooter where you're on a speeder bike fucking the speeders from Empire, whatever they were. I can't even remember what they're called now.
I mean, you got the whole Dark Forces thing, so you have your full-on FPS, like,
yeah, exactly,
dude, those, running around,
and those were amazing. Every one of those was just
in their own way.
Yeah, every one of those was great. There wasn't a bad one in the bunch, I think.
Even the crappy FMV in Jedi Knight.
You know what? I have a soft spot for the crappy FMV in Jedi Knight. Because the guy that played, what was his name? Kyle Katarn?
Kyle Katarn, yeah.
He was just horrible. But he cheesed it up. Like, he knew he had to be cheesy. So it felt like he was purposely cheesing it up, I thought. And that just felt good. You know, it was so, like, I remember this one part early in the game where there's a cutscene and you're about to catch, like, a robot. And, like, the robot gets away and, like, a TIE bomber comes up and shoots you.
Yes.
And all the guy does is go, oh, and falls to the ground. Like, it's really? Like,
you should be very dead.
you should be like little bits of things all over the landing pad. You should not be like, oh, he tripped me. The TIE bomber tripped me and I fell down.
And that droid had the best name. It was 8T88.
Right. Well remembered. In no other game besides Jedi Knight has tripped up my fear of heights more than that one.
Oh yeah, all the Dark Forces games are very vertical.
Oh my god. Like when you're on that little beam that's moving back and forth and you have to jump over another to another little beam that's moving back and forth over this like bottomless chasm. Oh my god.
Just so like, many Shadows of the Empire had it a little bit.
Really?
Like not very much, but it did have it a bit, but yeah, the Jedi or Dark Forces and Jedi Knight, those games were just like so much space.
Jedi Knight still has one of my favorite levels of any first-person shooter I've ever played, the spinning ship level.
Right.
Which was just incredible. Like, that fucked up my brain back in the day. Like, oh my god, the door was over there, and now, what the, ah!
Yeah.
That was such a great level, and I haven't encountered one FPS since that's matched that.
And I guess the thing for me is, like, just the level designers who came up with this stuff. Were yeah. just like crazy. Like, I
what
think
were they
if I'm
on those are levels were insane.
Well, if I'm remembering right, I think I can't remember if it was for the first Dark Forces or if it only happened in the later games. But they actually the level designers they actually didn't get like level designers. They went to like an architecture school and they got architecture students to come and design these levels like there were
what?
Real buildings. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh god, that makes so much sense. Thinking back on the levels in those games, that makes so much goddamn sense.
Except for the freaking sewer level.
Oh, God, this fucking thing. I remember the goddamn sewer level.
And it's like the second level. It's like the worst thing. It's so early.
It's like, fuck, really? You're going to throw me into this now? God damn it. It's kind of a shame. Didn't, like, some of those go open source recently? Like, didn't Jedi Academy
I think something
open
happened.
Source? Yeah, because when LucasArts got sold to Disney, I think Raven... Didn't they make at least Jedi Academy open source, I think?
I think so. I'm Googling.
Yeah, Jedi Academy open source. Open Jedi Project.
Yeah, Open JK.
Look at that. That's pretty
amazing. Open Jedi Project. Yeah, so you got the whole thing there. It's all OpenGL. And...
Holy crap, that looks amazing. I mean, are you seeing these screenshots? Oh my god!
I'm on GitHub.
Oh no, I'm on Desora. So Desora.
Oh yeah, I found some of these screenshots. They are pretty damn fancy.
Right. That looks really nice.
Yeah. So is this gonna also work with Jedi Academy?
I think no. Jedi Academy is the one that went open source.
Oh okay.
It's whichever one was done by Raven.
Which is Jedi, I believe, Jedi Academy, and I think the one before it, Jedi Knight 2.
Jedi Outcast,
I think that was also Raven.
Huh.
I believe those were Raven. I don't remember who did Jedi Knight.
Yeah, community effort to maintain and improve Jedi Academy and Jedi Outcast released by Raven Software.
Okay.
Yeah, and Academy was the last one, which was amazing.
Oh, so basically you can, do you need... to own Academy and then you put this on it? Or how does that work?
I don't think so.
No, I'm this should at... be the full thing. Like, the game was open sourced. So it should be all the resources and everything.
Yeah, you can download the enhanced beta from Desora for free.
Oh, because the best thing about Jedi Academy was the lightsaber dueling and multiplayer.
Oh, God, that was so great.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun, especially because everyone can have a different style of lightsaber. You can have them one, and you could have two separate lightsabers. You can have the staff thing. You can just, and you can do all these different moves. Ah.
And that's the thing that I always found interesting with these games is that they found a way to make melee combat in a first-person game work.
Yeah, which doesn't always.
No, I mean, you think you go to, like, Doom and stuff, it's like, oh, crap, I'm down to the chainsaw, now I'm dead. Like,
God damn it. I don't have any bullets.
So, yeah, so it's I'm reading the comments on ModDB, and they're like, what happened to this mod? There's only two servers up, and they're both locked. And then somebody's like, oh, the mod's been dead for years.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh. That's really sad.
Let's revive it.
Yeah, it looks really nice. These are games that deserve more attention because they were both great. They were both great. Now, Jim and I were talking about a shooter game that I don't think gets talked about a lot, and I haven't played much of it, but was it Republic Commando?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually really surprisingly good.
I call Republic Commando like a diamond in the rough. People don't know about it.
Yeah, it's the Rainbow Six of Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I did, like, I've only done the first mission so far, but I was surprised at just how competent and tactical it is.
It's really good, and I remember playing it when it came out, and I don't even remember how I got my hands on it, but I did. Like, I didn't go out and say, oh, Republic Commando. I think it came to me, and I was like, oh, let me try this, and it was really good.
Yeah, and apparently it works over Game Ranger, so we're going to have to try it.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, you can get it on Steam for, like, $10 now, I think.
Yep, Steam and GOG. Or is it on Steam, or is it just on GOG?
I think it's just on Steam. I don't think it's on GOG yet.
I don't know. I'm 99% sure it is.
Oh, I got to check that out. Because, yeah, that's probably one of my most surprising Star Wars games, is that one. You know, because...
Yeah, Republic Commando, $9.99 on GOG.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out on one of the... you know, one of the Star Wars game dumps that happened over the past little while.
Oh.
Yeah, I have it on Steam myself.
Yeah, that's what I have it on. I would think that would work over Game Ranger. Jim, we're gonna have to try it.
Oh yeah, well, it's got Direct IP Connect as well, so
we'll have to try that.
Yeah,
too.
I can.
So you don't even need a server.
Yeah, you start it, you run netstat, see what ports it's listening on, open them up, and you're done.
Well, it's good you know how to do that because I certainly don't.
It's because I am an IT professional.
There you go.
Something like that.
So, besides this one that I mentioned, were there any Star Wars games that really surprised you in a good or bad way? You guys?
Episode 1 Racer.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And you know absolutely. What's better than Episode 1 Racer is Racer's Revenge.
Yes.
Which is...
Absolutely correct.
Wow, it's good.
Yes. Absolutely correct. What's one of the reasons I purchased a PlayStation 2 is to get that game. And it's surprisingly amazing.
It's right up there with Super Bombad Racing.
Oh, for God's sakes.
We talked about that one last time.
Yeah. Oh, God, Super Bombad Racing. Now, there are some games, like, what was that one Star Wars 1 game? Well, there's Battle for Naboo, but wasn't there another one where, like, you were like a machinist or something and you had to like, what the fuck was that one? It's not listed here.
Was it an episode one game?
Droid Commander or something?
Droid Factory or something?
Droid something? Dude,
I had the Droid Factory as a child. That was the most awesome Star Wars toy because it was like, it was droid parts, and you could just put them together and make your own droids.
And make whatever you wanted,
it was
yeah.
Badass. Yeah, they have never made anything so good since.
Ah, yes, there's a couple of them. Oh, I was thinking, oh, God, there's two of them. There's Droid Works and Pit Droids, and they're apparently learning titles.
So from Lucas Learning?
Yes, I remember seeing these in the store, along with, oh, God, the Gungan Frontier. Remember seeing that in the store? I remember seeing that in the store.
That should actually be the full title of the game. Oh God, the Gungan Frontier.
Oh God, the Gungan Frontier.
Or that could be like the third sequel to Oh God, you know, but except he's long dead, but yeah.
Oh, the one I was trying to think of was Demolition. That's the one I was trying to think of.
You sure you weren't trying to think of Jar Jar's Journey Adventure Book?
Oh God. So does that actually?
It's a Lucas Learning title.
Oh God, it is, isn't it? Oh
yep.
God, it's right there. For some reason, my eyes didn't let me see that.
It's your eyes have been trained to defocus on Jar, on the word Jar Jar.
Yeah, anytime there's any Jar Jar, my brain's like, nope, just it's like a little neutral zone.
It
like,
should be it should be like a kid's book, like Jar Jar Binks. Everybody poops, you know.
Everybody poops on Jar Jar Binks.
Everybody poops in Jar Jar Binks' mouth. Oh God, that character. Oh, but yeah, I was trying to remember where there was like this vehicular combat game, and it wasn't the Bombad one, but the one I was trying to think of I played once on a friend's PlayStation was Demolition. And that was terrible.
Was that the one where you drove the tank? There was one. Yes. Yeah. Okay, because there was an episode one game that was like, I remember driving a tank. And it was not real great.
This was not specifically an episode one game, but it was. Oh God, it was using the Vigilante 8 game engine.
Ooh,
yucky.
Oh gee, it's just the quality is all over the place. Now, since we're talking about all over the place, let's go at the bottom of the barrel for a little bit and talk about Masters of Terra Kai.
Oh my God.
Yeah, probably. If not the worst Star Wars game, it's down there.
It's in the bottom. That's for sure.
Like I played this on a – I didn't have a PlayStation at the time, but a friend of mine did. And he was super excited about this game. And when it came out, I didn't really hear from him for a few days because he was playing this. And then when I finally saw him again, he had such a look of disappointment on his face. He looked like he was just crushed. Because this game was just such a piece of garbage. It really, I played it once or twice on his system and we just laughed the whole time.
Like it just doesn't make sense. It
makes no sense. And Lance says it had Mara Jade and that is true. It did have Mara Jade. I believe there was an expansion for Jedi Knight that also had Mara Jade. I can't remember.
Yes. Which one was it?
Oh God, I can't remember the goddamn name.
I can't remember if it was for Jedi Knight or for Jedi Knight 2.
I believe it was for Jedi Knight.
Was it Mysteries of the Sith?
Yes.
So that's what. Yes, and you played Mara Jade.
Yes, 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 and that was really great.
Yeah, it was Jedi Knight 2 Electric Boogaloo, or Jedi Boogaloo. I don't know. Something.
It was the Jedi Knight expansion. Yeah, Mysteries of the Sith came out.
That was
a year.
The one that let you play Darth Vader for the first time, I think.
Did it?
I think so. Yeah.
I do not sure remember
that. Let's see.
You know. I asked a couple of friends today what they thought the worst Star Wars game was, and almost unanimously, it was Force Unleashed. Those games.
Really, I liked the first one.
People could not – like I asked a few friends at work who are gamers what they thought the worst Star Wars game was. And independently, they both said Force Unleashed. Huh? Yes.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. I parts of it were frustrating, like the Star Destroyer sequence.
Well, yeah. I was about to ask. I never played them. But wasn't there a sequence where you could pull a Star Destroyer like out of the sky?
Yes, you had to, in fact.
Oh, for God's sakes.
That's probably he had a lot of midichlorians.
Exactly. His blood was all full. There was more midichlorians than blood.
You know what? I was really enjoying the Clone Wars cartoon until, like, in one of the final episodes, they mentioned the midichlorians once.
Like, nope. Done.
I'm like, oh, God, really, you guys? You guys are doing so great. And then you mentioned that word, and I was like, no. God, motherfucker.
Well, they have yet to mention them in Rebels, as far as I can tell. So
I'm going through Rebels now. Now that I wanted to finish Clone Wars first, because apparently some characters from Clone Wars show up in Rebels. So I wanted to finish Clone Wars first.
I think the finest Star Wars cartoon that has ever been is those little shorts, the little 5-minute long shorts.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Okay, I thought you were going to say the little animated short from the Christmas special where saw Boba Fett.
Yeah, well, no. But, you know.
The Gennady Tartakovsky ones there.
Oh, those were amazing. Yes, the Clone Wars mini episode.
Micro series
or whatever those were. Yeah, those were incredible.
Because they had like 5 minutes to show Jedi.
Yeah,
like
really cool, super
badass.
Stylized. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I especially like the ones where the Republic commandos like crashed in the city, and it was like a squad of them, and they were like climbing up buildings, and yeah. But I think the best was
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu, yeah.
Yes.
With the giant droid stomper thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so amazing.
So amazing, yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine lent me those. I need to get my own copies.
Yeah, I think I have them on floating around on DVD somewhere. Actually, I haven't watched them in forever.
They're so good.
I mean, I love like Samurai Jack and all that. So
oh yeah, oh
it was
yeah.
Just like it was like Samurai Jack Star Wars version. So with a coup.
and yeah, but have you guys watched the actual Clone Wars cartoon, like the animated the series?
Oh yeah.
Okay, because it's I just finished it like last week.
It starts off very weak and it ends off very strong.
Oh my God, it gets amazing.
Really does. The last like two seasons are incredible.
Holy crap, with all the clone stuff and there's kidnapping and there's death and betrayal and holy crap.
Yeah, it came a long way from that movie with the huts and the baby hut.
What were you talking about the last thing there?
The Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, with the kidnapping and the whatever. I just couldn't get over the bobblehead art style.
Gets better. It's a little
it gets better and you also get used to it.
Yeah. It's a little wonky at first, I agree. It looks like they're made of wooden dolls or something, but you get used to it. And
I don't know if I could get used to it. But
you do get used to it. And it's great because you're like rooting for these guys who you know are going to become bad guys and do horrible things, but at the time you're like, "Yeah, go Anakin. Yeah, go Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Do it. You guys are awesome." And then you're like, "Wait a minute. I know what's going to happen in Revenge of the Sith."
We know about the younglings.
Oh, I know where this is going. Oh God. I'll tell you, they do more with Anakin and Padme's like love relationship in like 30 seconds than all three movies do.
Because like, Lucas isn't writing it.
Exactly. Like it's competent people talking about an adult relationship.
Talking about sand. And
oh, gets Alex, at everything.
Alex in the chat room just asked how we like Star Wars Rebels. You seem to like it, Joe.
I really like it. We did on my Star Wars podcast. We just did an episode about it about a month ago.
Oh, did you finish it? You finished season one?
Yeah, we finished season one. We spoiled the crap out of it. So wait till you're done.
Yeah,
until you're caught up.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I'm about three or four episodes in, and I'm really liking it. I mean, the kid Ezra is a little annoying,
but he's annoying the way a kid is annoying.
Yeah, so that kind of. I mean, I like the rest of the crew so much. You know, I'm digging it. I'm really digging it. And I'm
trying to figure out the whole Jedi-ness of the other guy. Like, I thought all the Jedi were dead, except Kenobi and whatever.
No,
but then there's this guy.
So there's one of the new books that came out. There's a whole book about him.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's called A New Dawn. And yeah, it's kind of how him and Hera kind of meet for the first time.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Because Star Wars Rebels, this is like actually the birth of the rebellion, right?
Yeah, basically.
Isn't that? Yeah.
Yeah, basically. And it's really, I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait to watch the rest. I'm really digging it.
I hope they actually get into, now, I mean, they've dealt with this local thing on this one planet, right? So I hope that, the way that it ended, right, is, I hope it goes into galactic scope real fast. Right, like let's get off this little backwater planet and start putting together a fleet and doing things. That could be pretty darn epic.
Yeah, and I think it'll probably get there. I'm not sure if it's going to run for more than four or five seasons, so I think they're gonna take it to where it needs to go.
That makes sense. And then, but there's so much that universe has so many stories in it, you know, that they could even do canon, you know. Knack asks, is it Mara Jade part of the extended universe that Disney threw out? Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely. The only non-movie things that are canon now are these new books that are coming out and the comics that are coming out and Clone Wars and Rebels. That's basically all that's canon now.
Yeah, basically anything that's on a screen and anything book-wise that has started to come out now.
Yes.
So A New Dawn, that one about Rebels – was the first of the new books. And anything after that and anything after that is in canon. And there's been about three or four now. There's another one coming out in – actually, it's interesting. There's another one coming out in July about Asajj Ventress.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's called Dark Disciple.
I love Ventress.
You know what?
That's coming out beginning of July.
You know what I would truly love is if What's they that? Let the people that are doing Game of Thrones have a crack at Star Wars.
Woohoo!
No boobs, okay?
I was going to say, Star Wars needs more boobs.
Yeah.
I don't think Star Wars needs more boobs.
I think that there is actually a contractual obligation to have at least some boobs in every episode.
Hmm.
Like
Game of Thrones, absolutely.
Yes, yes. There. So, but anyway.
Well, I think we've gained our third co-host. Hunter, are you here?
Surprise, motherfuckers!
Surprise, motherfuckers!
Surprise, motherfuckers!
He reversed polarity in his hyperdrive and got away from the interdictor.
Yes, I have no idea. I haven't done this since I was like a fucking kid. I slept straight through that nap alarm, man. Oh my god! Okay.
So we're talking about Rebels and Clone Wars right now, the cartoons.
Nice.
We're talking about
Clone Wars was good up until that last episode, which was kind of weird.
That was a little weird, but I think they had to leave it ambiguous.
I think so. I mean, I haven't watched any of the Lost episodes yet, so I don't know if they tried to do anything weird with that.
Oh, so you haven't watched the Netflix episodes yet?
I watched maybe two of those, but like there were some like really weird ones they released on the web, I think, or...
Oh, I thought
there's some that they showed at Celebration, and I think those, I don't know if they're available yet.
Oh, I thought, I've seen them on DVD, the Lost episodes. I thought the Lost episodes was that last season that was only on Netflix. Is that not right?
That's it. And then there were some others that were like semi-finished that they showed at Celebration.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a few more that they kind of put out, so.
Oh.
But Rebels is pretty good. I just haven't kept up with Rebels yet because, you know, of everything else that's going on. But yeah.
You gotta have priorities, man.
I'm a few episodes in, I was saying. I'm not finished it yet, but I'm quite enjoying it now that I'm done with Clone Wars.
Oh yeah, but I mean, stick with it. It's good. And once you get a chance, watch the preview for season 2, which is starting in like less than a month, I think. It's coming in July.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll have to get caught up.
Yeah, now, and the preview for season 2 looks pretty awesome, especially if you've seen Clone Wars.
So, Hunter, you came in at where we're kind of talking – well, we were talking about the shows. We're also talking about the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys, have you talked about the Old Republic online MMO?
Not yet.
I have not played that, so we have not got yet.
That's interesting because you brought up the Celebration. Star Wars Celebration, they talked about, someone asked specifically if any of that was going to be canon or if they were going to try and mess with that. And they were like, we're going to leave that alone. They're not going to touch it, but they're also like not considering it canon either.
Yeah. That's consistent with their other statements. So that
makes sense. But I mean, basically, one of my co-hosts on Star Wars Stacks, Chris, he is of the belief that they're going to leave Old Republic stuff alone just because it's so long ago.
Yeah.
That maybe they'll say, oh, well, it's not canon, but we're going to leave it. So it's going to probably eventually just kind of get back in.
But, you know, the problem is here's my dissatisfaction with Old Republic. The RPGs, fabulous. Right.
Oh yeah, KOTOR.
I love the setting. I loved everything about it, and I
mean, it's the proto Mass Effect, right?
yeah, exactly. And it's just awesome, right? Dug it.
Right.
And I like seeing the retro future, basically, of Star Wars, right? Where it's like, oh, we have instead of stormtroopers, we have these dudes running around in chrome armor, you know, and stuff, you know, so it was like it's the stuff, you know, but completely different, right? However, whenever they did the MMO, I think they were like, oh, nobody's gonna get it, so we need to incorporate all this stuff from Clone Wars. We'll like retcon that shit back into, you know, 3,000 years ago or whatever.
It's like, no one's going to get it. We got to put in everything that people know, otherwise it won't be Star Wars.
Exactly.
I always found it so interesting that everything felt so familiar. I will agree with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I've played Knights of the Old Republic. I haven't played the Old Republic, just Knights of the Old Republic, which are some of the finest games, which we can get to. But yeah, and like hardly anything's changed in 4,000 years. Like all the ships work the same.
Still hyperdrive. There's still lightsabers. There's still blasters. It's all.
This is an interesting thing about Star Wars, right? Is like once you reach a certain level of technology, does it just stop? You know, because
like, is that it? We've done what we can do. Like,
yeah, well, like
this evolution only goes so far. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, okay, think 20th century into 21st century, right?
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the century, we had horses and buggies, okay, and then the car, and so we went from horse and buggy to landing on Mars in 100 years. Okay, so give it 3,000 years. Like, what should we have then? Right, like people are talking about. Well, you know, like the basically at that point, like AI will take over. Everything will be nanobots. It's all gray goo. You know, whatever. Right, because if people keep thinking about, you know, like the law of technology, like, you know, everything doubles every year or whatever. Right. So, but I think the Star Wars thing is basically like. They got to a certain level of technology, and then nobody gave a fuck about technology anymore, right? You don't see any – I mean, like the only kind of technology nerd that you ever see is Anakin. He's the geek because he's building his own robots and he's, you know
– Right. But it's all still very – it's all still very mechanical. Like it's not like high tech. Like it is, but it's not.
Right.
That's true.
Well, that's kind of – I mean, yes and no, because you look at the prequel trilogy timeline, and everything was all like polishy and
yeah,
new.
It was like all neo and then, Art Deco,
and then you
and...
yeah, and then you look at like the Imperial era with like
well,
4, 5, and 6
everything
timeline,
everything
was fucked up.
Yeah,
but that makes sense because the Empire took all the good stuff, right? Like
right,
everyone else is scrimping and scrabbling and whatever.
So like the rebels had to have secret meetings about what do we do? Where do we get our fighters? So they had to like design their own, you know, their own fighters. And...
Yeah, they had to get like the Incom guys to defect and all that, which is like yeah.
Yeah, so there was like a need for technology, but there was also like, well, how do we manufacture our own stuff, even though this technology exists?
I thought that was a nice retcon that they did in Clone Wars, where they showed the Y-wings, but they were like all cool looking.
Yeah, exactly. And
they did the same thing in Rebels with the new TIE fighters, I guess.
Right.
Did you guys catch that with the TIE Advanced that they put out?
Yeah, yeah. There was like kind of a pre TIE Advanced.
Oh,
yeah, that was kind of weird.
Really? Well, spoiler.
Yeah, and so
it's actually interesting, like in these books, because the books are taking place like kind of even before Rebels, and you're getting this whole like transitional period in the ships. Like in I was just reading Lords of the Sith, which is the last book that came out, which is basically the Emperor and Vader's day off kind of a thing. But
what?
It's an awesome book.
Do they go for a picnic and shit?
they get stuck on Ryloth.
What?
You should read it. It's an amazing book. It's really,
oh my
really
God.
Well done. It's the best of the new books, I have to say. But at the beginning of the book, Vader is flying this like his like Ada Interceptor, which is like the ship he was flying in the old in the prequels. And then he junks it and he starts flying a TIE fighter. Like it's just and you know like the TIEs are like they're just coming in. So you still have like kind of the transitional period, which is interesting.
I will have to check that out. I've not read any of the new Star Wars books. I stopped reading Star Wars books a long time ago because they start getting really shitty.
I have a thought about what we should do on Thursday night. If we all download The Old Republic, because it's free, right?
Yeah, it's free to play. So.
And so we could just jump in and dick around in The Old Republic for a little bit.
I don't wanna.
Okay.
Their space combat's like a giant like rail shooter arcade.
Yeah, but you have to play 100 hours before you ever get to do it.
Oh yeah, the space combat. You're not even there yet. But it's just for me. I don't know. Like we were talking about this today because there's all these rumors flying around about Fallout 4, right?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, it's going to be an MMO. Yeah, exactly. We'll find out in like 12 hours or something. But, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be an MMO. And I'm like, oh, I do not want it to be an, if it's an MMO, I'm not going to play it. I love
Fallout. They can't make it an MMO because they fucked up. They fucked up with the Elder Scrolls. Yeah, man. Like, if they make it an MMO, it's going to be fucked up.
Yeah, that's a really bad idea on their part if that's what they do.
Yeah, because like, and I played the Old Republic, and I recently like got back in, and I played a dude up to level 10, and I was just like, this is a fun game, but I don't care. It's just like, I don't know. I think like I don't know if it's just for me. Like, I know WoW is losing players and all this, but I know people who are still hardcore into it, and it's just like, I just can't play an MMO anymore. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, the problem with me and MMOs is that you don't change the world. Nothing
right,
happens.
You don't matter.
Right. Except that was the problem with whenever they did Elder Scrolls Online. No, Elder Scrolls Online, when they did that, because they tried to – that's what broke me off the game, because the horrific way that they did this is you did change the world, right? So it would be like you get a quest, go here – and kill these bandits, right? So you go there and you kill the bandits, and then you walk outside, and the town's back to normal. There's no, you know, it's no longer like on fire and full of bandits. Well, the problem is the other people in your party who haven't done that quest still see the town on fire and full of bandits. Well, they can't have you mixed together.
What?
Right. So what they do, heavy phasing
and stuff.
Yes, they instance it. So what happens is people who haven't done the quest disappear off your screen when you walk into town because done it. So you're in a different instance of the town.
Oh no!
And it's like, oh god, you know. So yeah, that was deal breaking to me.
So
it's kind of like you have to be able to change the world, but if you change the world, then it's crappy. So it's like you can't. You need it both ways, and you can't have it.
Yeah. I think for RPGs these days, what they really need to implement is something like they do with Borderlands or Diablo 3, for example, with a drop-in, drop-out kind of gameplay, like where you can still keep playing in your own world and your own story, but if you need help with something, you can have a friend come in and you can co-op that shit on that one quest you were doing, and then they can go and like leave, you know.
Yeah, that works really well with Diablo.
Yeah,
and surprisingly, it works really well with Borderlands too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, easy. Isn't Elite Dangerous sort of like that too? If you choose for it to be,
if you get a wing
in a sort of kind of weird way, yeah.
Yeah, when it works,
right?
When it decides to work.
But for me, that's what I've come to realize that I really want out of like an MMO / a like, you know, multiplayer experience. If I'm going to do something, I don't want to have to be doing the same grind fest that everybody else is, or have something that breaks like with Elder Scrolls does, or have a game like Guild Wars 2 where the world changes so much that if you stop playing for a year and come back, everything's different. And you're like, you know, for everybody, and you're like, what? What happened?
Right, or something like Eve or whatever you think about Eve. I think it does that pretty well too.
Well, Eve is such a player driven thing to where it's just like I don't even.
Eve, the players make Eve bad.
That's, right,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because if you're not in the group, then you're screwed.
You're useless. Like you can't do anything.
Don't get anywhere near them. They'll kill you.
But see, the problem with Eve, though, was, like, I had some guys at work that played, and they would just talk Eve all the time, you know, and they're deep in the politics and the things that are going on. So I'm like, okay, I'll sign back up. I'll come join. Because I never got to play with a corporation. It was always, like, three or four of us screwing around, but we'd get murdered if we went out of high sec, right? So these guys are out in null sec. And, you know, it's Wild West, anything goes, so don't ever get caught outside of the station or you're murdered. And so I went out there, and it was interesting, but it was a lot of hurry up and wait, because it would be like, oh, our scouts saw, you know, some rival gang at some warp gate somewhere, so scramble everybody, right? And then they'd get like, you know, 100 people would all come to the station, and they'd get their battleships, and we'd sit like at the jump gate. And sit.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, what are we sitting for? Let's go kill them. No, we have to wait for the whatever. And it's like, oh, God.
This is a game. It's supposed to be fun. Can we go kill things now?
Yeah. It's like I had more fun mining than
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh yeah.
I was enjoying looking at my ship and station, talking to you and stuff, sitting out here. They're the exact same thing. Weird.
Yeah, I enjoyed that little Easter egg RPG in Excel more than I enjoyed EVE Online. and they're both about the same kind of math crunching.
They're both like Excel.
Don't get me wrong, EVE itself isn't really that bad, but like you said, it's the player base that ruins it. So
it's an amazing achievement in player-driven storytelling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love reading the shit that goes on in there. I just want nothing to do with it myself.
Because there's honestly a lot of fun PvE stuff, because like all the PvE stuff I ever did in that game, I honestly enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. I did enjoy like the missions and stuff.
Yeah, that was cool. It's a beautiful looking game, even now that it's been out for a while, and it's just, yeah, so much stuff there. But yeah, it's just like the people. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, Lance in the chat is saying the people made it the best. You must have been playing with nice people.
Lance and I used to play together, and I can tell you, he was part of some, like every night PvP corp. Like, they always saw action. Like, they always saw action every night. That was all they ever did, was go
they
and
always saw
shoot
action
people.
Every night? Is that
satisfaction. So,
but, so yeah.
Well, that's the thing. If you're the aggressors, that's great. But if your corp decides to play defensive, then it's boring as shit, because you're just, you sit around and wait to get hit. And absolutely. It's like, oh, God.
Either that or you're hiding all the time. Like, I'm gonna save all these bookmarks in these places that people will never find me, and then figure out what to do next. And
yeah.
Yeah, well, that's not that much fun either.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to find wormholes, guys. Leave me alone.
Well,
fucking with me.
What was hilarious, right, is then they had, like, basically nuclear bombs, and they had some ships that were bombers, right? So you could warp in with a bomber and drop a nuke and jump back out, and then the nuke would blow up. And we had a guy kill like 100 ships with one nuke one night, and it was like, I was just like, wow, that's awesome. That was all my money. So it's like, I'm broke. Thanks.
Ooh, Chikorito in the chat says they could find a wormhole in my mom. Ooh,
wow.
Birds.
Hot dog in a hallway.
Sizzle, sizzle, what? Sizzle, sizzle. What the fuck is that? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Hello? What the hell? So, wait, we were talking about Star Wars games, weren't we?
At one point.
So, I never played Old Republic, but you guys don't sound too.
It's an MMO.
Well, it's an MMO. Like, it was unfortunate. So here's the bottom line with the Old Republic. This is what's weird. The problem with the Old Republic as an MMO is its story. The problem with the Old Republic as a story is its MMO. Like,
wait, what?
Yeah, so like the MMO parts get in the way of the story that you're trying to follow, and all the story stuff that you're trying to follow is bothered by all the MMO stuff that you have to go and do too.
Right,
like,
and
it's really
very grindy.
You're just better off playing Knights of the Old Republic, which had
absolutely
great gameplay and a great story.
Yep, yep.
And forget the MMO.
Right,
right. I mean, like, if Old Republic was a single player RPG, I think it'd be a lot of fun. Like,
which there are two of. Now, did you guys ever finish Knights of the Old Republic 2? Because apparently, I tried to play it when it came out, but it wasn't finished at the time. Apparently,
you know
but
what?
Apparently,
apparently
they modded in the end of it. Apparently,
okay.
Right?
So you, yes, it's true. The patch is out for KOTOR 2, and it's worth
right.
It adds like the last half of the game. However, you are the guy that won't play Mass Effect, and yet you are so it's like I couldn't get you to play Mass Effect for nothing.
Okay, and, you know what? I'm sorry. The way that guy walked and wiggled his butt, the way he walked, I couldn't get over that, and I just haven't gone back. I mean, there's a way he walked.
What the fuck like, are you talking about?
There's a way the guy walked where he shimmied his
what
butt.
What guy?
It was so real. Your guy.
You don't like Shepard's
butt?
No.
Shepard was
your
girl.
Dude.
If you're not playing with female Shepard, you've done it wrong. So
really?
Go back.
So I should be doing a fem shep, is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's
fem shep is canon.
See that,
right?
And that's And that, well, that was what's great about Mass Effect and games I've like never, is that you I've... could choose.
Yes.
Apparently, people in the chat are saying Shepard is a woman. So apparently, right. I should go back and try Mass Effect 2.
Right, because Jennifer Hale is the queen.
Oh, really?
Of space. Yes.
So I should totally Bruce Jenner this thing. And
too soon, too soon.
What? Sorry. No. I'm sorry.
Don't get your Wheaties in an uproar. All right.
I got nothing against Bruce Jenner or what's her name now?
I don't know, but when
Caitlyn
Jenner, I had nothing. I just thought like guy playing a girl. I don't know. I never played.
I had joked. I was like, damn, Bruce Jenner looks like an old lesbian. Like a few years ago, and he is.
And now he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But no, I never thought to play. I never play as a woman. I usually imagine putting myself in a game, which is why I always play a male. But I never thought to play as a woman. But I'll give that a shot.
I play a girl in everything. And the reason why is because if I have to stare at something's ass for 200 hours, it better be a chick.
I guess that makes sense. I never thought of it that way, but I guess...
I don't know. Like, I'm the same as you. I haven't... I've tried, like, in WoW and stuff to make female tunes, and I play them for, like, level 10, and I'm like, nah, can't do it.
Yeah, because I can't... But I'll give it a shot. You know, I think it's still installed. Let me double check that. I think it's still installed.
So on the short, the Old Republic had potential, but it got fucked up with all the MMO stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
they spent god awful amounts of money on the damn voice acting stuff.
Every single thing was voice acting.
I was down in Austin when the Austin team was developing the game. And I even went to the damn launch party that the developers threw for people who could come. Cause I also beta tested that thing. So I went and hung out with like the developers and went to the launch party with like the 501st and I've got pictures of all this shit. And, it was a grand old time and everybody was hyped about it. And then like my roommate and I at the time played probably for about a week and we went, okay.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a big MMO nut, one of my best friends, and he, played it for a little while and then he just eventually went back to Rift or something or whatever he plays now. So yeah, apparently a lot of people just weren't, it's hard to get a licensed MMO right like that, like Elder Scrolls. And I guess Star Wars.
I don't know. And like it's with me, it's not that I ever said, "Oh, this game sucks." I just sort of just stopped playing it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't finish a lot of games, but I finished KOTOR 1, and I got fairly far in KOTOR 2 before I hit whatever bug that was. That just like, nope, no more game here. Oh, okay. Thank you. That was weird. Like, how did that happen? Does anyone know how that happened? KOTOR got released.
I think it was KOTOR one of those ran out of money, game ends here, release it now, it's Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure about all the things. I just remember people didn't like it for the longest time.
Yeah, but yeah, I played it for a while, and then I got to a point where it just wouldn't go any further.
I think KOTOR 1 was like one of the very first RPGs on the Xbox, too.
I think it was. I think
it was one of the launch titles. I think.
Yeah, I was about to say that was kind of a system seller for that system back in the day.
That and Halo, I think, were one of the two big things for that console.
Yeah, and Kabuki Warriors. God, that game was good.
What about that Steel Battalion game? What about that the one with the crazy ass joystick?
Yeah, the crazy remote control.
You know, Star Wars games that should not have been made.
What's that?
Let's talk about Masters of Terra Skasi or whatever.
We did for a moment, but we can go back to it. We did for a second, but we can go back to it.
Can I just say how much...
You can say whatever you want.
That pisses me off. Like, a game that conceptually was, like, interesting. I'm like, like, Jedi Luke Skywalker. I can fucking duke it out with, like, a Mandalorian. Like, let's have fun, like, playing a fighting game. But nah, y'all bitches fucked this shit up.
Fun was the last word you should use with that game.
Yeah, exactly. Fun in that game should be so far apart, it's not even funny.
I would say that's probably the most disappointing Star Wars game I've ever played.
Like, I don't think anyone thought Super Bombad Racing was going to be good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I never played that one, but I couldn't imagine that would be good. Like, I didn't go in there with high expectations. But I have enjoyed some fighting games, you know, so I'm like, oh, this kind of makes sense if you do it right. And they didn't do it right. They didn't do it right. Oh, I forgot about this, but Jill in the chat says that KOTOR 2 was made by Obsidian. Yeah, so that does have something to do with the bugs. Say what you want about Obsidian. They make great games with great stories that could, because I love
Alpha. They don't work too well.
I love Alpha Protocol like no one's business. That game, the gameplay has got some problems. When you can sneak up behind two guys, shoot one of them, and the other guy just doesn't even notice, there's a problem there. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm really kind of hoping that with the draw of all these space sim games and the draw of the fact that, you know, all these people wanted X-Wing and TIE Fighter and all that stuff to be re-released, which they did, and people pretty much lost their shit over.
Yeah, and then you get Starfighter Inc., which,
right,
you know.
Which,
yeah, so, Joe. Oh my gosh! So, does anybody here have any pull with David Westman? Can we get him?
No, I tried contact. I sent those guys messages via Kickstarter and Facebook, and I never heard a thing back. I was.
You think they'd want some?
You would think you would
some publicity at this point.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you saw, but there was, Polygon said that the game's going to go forward.
Yeah, they're doing it one way or the other.
They're
right?
They're doing it. They're going.
Well, what I wonder though is how come nobody wanted it?
Well, they wanted like $17 million for the full game, which makes complete sense. But I think people were like,
that's a lot of money.
A single player game does take a lot of resources and a lot of time, sure. But
yeah,
here was my reaction to reading the pitch. I didn't look at the video. I read the pitch first. Ooh, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, awesome. Team Fortress, what? World of Tanks. Oh,
it like, seemed a little all over the place. Like,
it did. It did. Yes. Like if you're going to do X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, fucking do that, because X-Wing versus TIE Fighter is great. Well, until you get to this one mission that you fail 10 times and you want to fucking throw your joystick out the window.
Well, you got a backup, so you can do it.
Oh God.
Yeah, we need to bring Joe in as a ringer, and he can beat that mission for us.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I can certainly try.
Yeah, we should try and get a full compliment on that. We've never gotten 8 people in for this, for X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yeah, you hear that, Lance? Get X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, and we'll get you in here.
Yeah, okay, Lance, because so you know Lance Hunter.
Yes, I do.
He was upset that I brought you on the Skype call, because he was asking me to bring him on earlier, and I was like, you know, just chat us, because I don't want to go through, you know, all that given the thing. And he's like, why don't you bring Hunter on? I'm like, he's our co-host.
Yes, let the jealousy flow through you.
This is his job. He was late for his job today, which is going to affect his performance review negatively. Write this down. But...
Don't sleep, bitches. It'll get you fired.
No raise for Hunter. No.
But we'll give you a 10% raise on your zero.
Yeah, just 10%. Next quarter, do better next quarter, and we'll. I'm sorry, Lance, your fingers are raw. But yeah, Getaway X-Wing versus TIE Fighter on GOG, not Steam. GOG. Well, we can play another day. We can play another day, Lance. We play on Thursdays, but we can figure something out.
This Thursday is the last Thursday of the universe.
For you, anyway.
That's your only chance.
For you, anyway. What were we talking about before we got on that tangent?
Starfighter Inc.
Oh, yeah. So, I'll be honest. When X-Wing versus TIE Fighter first came out, I thought it was crap.
Same here.
I thought it was shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this? But now I see it's ahead of its time. You know, it's so good. Well, until you get to that point.
That one mission.
Until you get to that
point. I was trying to remember, because for some reason I felt like when it first came out, were there issues with the netcode, or did it always work?
Oh, totally. Okay. No, it didn't work. It was laggy as hell. I mean, back in, was it 98? Not everyone had broadband. Few people did, no. And so most people were on dial-up, which was, you know, obviously shit.
3K per second, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I've got a 56K modem. Woo! I love that noise.
It's got V42 bis.
Whoa! Yeah,
1997, April 1997.
Yeah, so the internet was not ready for this game. It really wasn't, because, you know, I mean, there was really no way good way to coordinate with your team, because there was no voice chat, you know, and didn't it run over a service like MPlayer or something?
Yeah, it was the Microsoft one, I think, wasn't it, or something?
Something like that. No, it was, or 10, or one of those things that don't exist anymore. And so that was always a problem. It just never ran well. And then, I mean, who knew people on the internet like you do now back then? I didn't. I knew people at my college that were on the internet.
I knew some friends that I went on BBSs with.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, how do you get all that together?
Yeah, this is one more of like a great LAN party game.
Yeah, but I didn't know anybody who had a LAN back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it was seriously ahead of its time. Now you play it, it's great. It's got everything. It really does have just about everything.
Except for a challenge skill slider towards like, oh, there's only three of us playing. How about you make this level a little easier on us?
I was going to say it has everything, including a punishing difficulty level that was so prevalent in the 90s.
Yeah, because it's basically like, oh, that was fun. Oh, this is fun. Fuck. Well, we don't get to see the rest of the game. Okay. Well.
Where'd this wall come from? Out of my head.
Well, the thing is, like, I remember finishing X-Wing, and now if I try doing that trench run, I just die. Like, I don't know. Oh. Maybe we've become like little bitches, and we can't play anymore. Like,
I think that's true. Like, I am stuck on this one mission in TIE Fighter. I've tried it like 8 times. I got the strategy guide, and I did what the strategy guide said. Still lost. And I remember finishing the entirety of the CD-ROM back in the day. I did. Yeah. I finished everything. I got to the missile boat. I got to all the other shit, you know. Oh, got the missile boat. But, like, what the fuck was the missile boat about?
It was about
it really was. That's really all it was. Because that one lizard, pew, pew.
So it's conditioning is what it is, right?
It must be. Over
the years, the games that have followed suit that have come out are a little bit more forgiving in how, like, you play them.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, you just die, respawn right away, like, right there.
Exactly.
Oh, you can't get through this. You just keep playing it until you do get through it. As were, like, games in the past, if you screw up, you have to start all the way back at the beginning again.
But why don't we have that in Free Space 2? Free Space 2 is not merciless, right?
Well, Free Space 2 also had a difficulty slider.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
It had 5 levels of difficulty going from very easy to, like, nightmare or something like that. So that's one of the reasons that game is still the best there is. But, like, even Wing Commander did something different where if you failed, you went to another branch where it wouldn't go as long and it would be shit, but because, you know, you failed.
Eventually you just couldn't win at all, yeah.
Couldn't win at all, and that kind of sucked. And then you're like, okay, I guess I got to start back here. But that was kind of different. That was different than what X-Wing and TIE Fighter do and all these other games where it's like, nope, 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 nope.
And there's design reasons for that, because I think a lot of reason that a lot of games don't do these whole branching paths is they don't want to create parts of the game that you don't see.
That's true. But wouldn't that – see, that's the thing. I replayed Wing Commander a couple times to see those parts. Like, that compelled me to revisit the game and want to see the stuff I missed the first time.
Yeah, but in Wing Commander, weren't some of the missions, they were like story missions, but in between the story missions, wasn't it like procedural? Like there's just some random whatever.
No, you're thinking Aterium.
Well, I know Aterium does it, but I thought the original Wing Commander did that as well.
No, Wing Commander is like fully scripted.
It just had filler missions. It just had some filler.
Yeah, like I think you could fail certain missions and it wouldn't matter, but there were others that you had to pass to go on the winning track or the losing track.
Right. Well, I just thought the filler ones were just generic. You know, like, oh, just grab a random filler mission.
No, no, no. They're all fully 100%
scripted. They're totally scripted. Yeah, Knack is right that It had multiple missions. Wing Commander, at least the first one, had multiple arcs. Like, he says four, and I think he's right there. Where even if you lost one or two missions, you could still go for a while.
Until you ended up in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's probably the one Achilles heel of the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games is just that.
It demanded perfection. Yeah.
It really does, because I want to do another podcast about this where we talk about puzzly space games, like these, the Independence War games, for example.
Oh God, Independence War was.
It's stereo. You're like, oh shit.
That's what busted me out of that game was just like, I got to a couple of missions that it was like, what do you want?
I can't remember if I told you guys the story about my initial X-Wing install experience.
Go for it.
So when I mentioned when we talked about TIE Fighter last time, I think that X-Wing was like the first game that I was ever excited about. And I got it like, you know, maybe not launch day, but very, very close. I was like 12 when it came out and I didn't know what was going on. So, you know, I go to the store, get X-Wing. It was like, you know, $70 or however much it cost. Go home, super excited, install the game, boot it up. Intro starts, watch the whole thing, super amazing. Go to the first mission, go to the briefing, get in, start playing. And because I'm me, I had to go through everything. So I hit escape and I started going through all the like the options and stuff. And what do I see but invulnerability and unlimited ammo? So I'm like, oh, all right, I'll do that because I'm 12 and I don't want to die. Even though like Tour 1, Mission 1 and X-Wing is like, you know, no one even shoots at you, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that, fly through the whole mission, land. Go back to the next briefing. What do I see? Tour 1, Mission 1. I'm like, what the hell? Huh. This doesn't make any sense. So I do the mission again.
Doesn't let you advance if you have that stuff on?
So yeah, if you turn on invulnerability or unlimited ammo, you cannot advance to the next mission. But I hadn't read the manual and I didn't know that. So I actually played the first mission like 5 times and said, no, what the hell am I doing wrong? And it even says, mission was a success, blah, 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 to the point where I brought the game back to the store. And I went to the dude and I said, there's something wrong with this game. It won't let me go to the second mission. And the guy at the store was really awesome. It was this place called CompuCenter.
I remember CompuCenter, sure.
Yeah, and he actually took my discs and he installed the game on one of their machines, went in, played the first mission without notably turning on invulnerability, and he played through it and boom, Tour 1 Mission 2. It was like, oh, what happened here? And he's like, well, what did you do? I'm like, well, I did turn on invulnerability. He's like, yeah, don't do that. And then I went home and I had a great experience. But yeah, there was this whole thing where I'm like, X-Wing is broken. It doesn't work. What is this? This is crap. And yeah, it was all because I turned on invulnerability.
You sailed back to the store to return it on a river of your own tears.
Exactly.
And, yes.
You know, that was the worst part. I was so excited about this damn game.
It's funny. You know, go ahead.
Okay. No, you go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, it's funny when we talk about X-Wing. I've replayed through TIE Fighter like 3 or 4 times. I've only played through X-Wing once, and I really have no interest in going back.
Yeah, because it's all puzzly and shit.
Well, so is TIE Fighter.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I think TIE
Fighter... See, what you need is a story. So how about you go play X-Wing Alliance?
I was waiting for you to bring up...
Yeah,
Alliance.
But the thing with X-Wing Alliance is you get the X-Wing Piloteer, and then you get unlimited mission skips, so every time you see the Millennium Falcon, you just skip, and you'll be fine.
That kind of reminds me.
The trophy room. You won't have your trophy room all full.
Whatever.
And you won't have that robot commenting on everything that's happening.
Reading, Ace, come on in!
And your name is Ace. What?
Ace has a mean, man.
Yeah, so they could be like
it's alliterative.
And, yeah.
Well, you know, I agree that the family stuff isn't for everybody, but at least they were trying to do something that was, you know, against the norm, something different that wasn't like.
But you know what? That brings up an interesting point. When you said Piloteer, this reminded me of this. Why has there ever been like a Privateer Elite style game in the Star Wars universe?
You know,
wouldn't you play? Great. Wouldn't you play the fuck out of that?
Yeah, they would call it Solo.
Yeah, you don't even have to be on Solo. I mean,
or Yolo.
Do they,
you,
or something like that. You just make it like you're just a freighter pilot, and you do missions, and you improve your ship, and then you could go to the rebellion or whatever on your own. And that wouldn't that be amazing?
It feels like you would have been able to choose
which side.
Yeah, like are you where's your loyalty kind of?
Yeah,
thing.
Or do you stay in the middle and do missions for both? You know, like you just
become like a smuggler.
Do you just go where the money is and that's it? Or do you help one more than the other? You know,
or it's like, you like grind rep with one faction or the other and you become friendly, right?
Yeah. Why didn't they ever do that? Why didn't anyone ever do that?
I wonder.
Well, that brings up a great point, because there's like a whole bunch of types of styles of games that could be made involving the Star Wars universe. One's such like game style that I enjoyed as a kid growing up was the Super Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, platformers.
Like, those worked great. I mean, sure, the boss fights were outrageous and silly, but, you know, it was something completely different.
I also remember them being very hard.
The Empire Strikes Back one was brutal. I never, ever beat the Empire Strikes Back one. That one was so super brutal. But I did beat Super Star Wars and Super Return of the Jedi. Because Return of the Empire implemented the password, the passcode system.
Right.
So, you know, if you got to a certain point and you just keep screwing, you can at least use your passcode to get back to that point and keep going.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. Because in the original Super Star Wars, if you completely died, you had to start from level 1, mission 1, or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was like Mario Brothers style.
Oh,
like,
God.
Complete Mario Brothers.
That's a sinister amount of pain. No.
That's mean. That's just mean.
But that was the first one.
Right.
Well, thank God for safe states.
But yeah, I mean, Joe, you were going to say something when I brought up the privateer style game and you got interrupted. What were you going to say?
What was I going to say? Oh, I feel like that was something that they might have done with Galaxies, because Galaxies was kind of that way, you know, where you could like be a dude that made blasters or whatever. I know I played Galaxies, but
Galaxies was an MMO that was actually done right, in my opinion.
Galaxies was like Star Wars SimCity MMO, because you basically built a city with your friends and then had
which
shops.
Is pretty cool, because isn't that what we always say we want from MMOs, and then when we get it, we see how much it sucks?
That's the thing, is every time somebody says, oh, I wish this and that, and it's like, nah, you really don't.
We need player housing, and then you get it, and it's garbage. Like,
I played Galaxies for a little while through many of its different iterations.
Yeah.
And, of course, they had their game changer, Game Killer, which was the new game enhancements, which ultimately I thought ruined the game. That's when they lost all of their subscription base. But up until then, before then, when they did episode 3 stuff and they tried to retcon some stuff by bringing past, like, really far episode 1, 2, and 3 stuff into the current, which was like, dude, this is supposed to be the Galactic Civil War, so it takes place between episodes 4 and 5 is when the MMO is supposed to be taking place, but then you have, like, all these clone troopers walking around all of a sudden because of all the episode 3 content they throw in there. But, before that moment, though, the fact that you could have your own player housing was actually really cool, and there used to be competitions for people for decorating their homes and who could get the most creative and who could use items in different ways to make their player housing look really cool. And because like you collect items throughout the game, and you can use pelts as like carpets and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like you know, there's a Rancor head over my fireplace because seriously,
I killed a Rancor. Yeah, like
if you go look at screenshots, I'm sure there's a bunch up there still. That had the coolest player housing. The whole game was player housing, really.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, and because I remember a buddy of mine, you could have like mineral extractors, and you were a farmer basically. Like you'd have like a big field of giant thumping machines, you know, it was, like oil derrick looking things, and you'd have to go around and like collect your resources out of the bins, and you know, but you had vendors, right? You could hire like a droid, and it was basically a vending machine, and other people could go up and buy stuff from it. The thing that was super freaking weird in that game, though, was when you were a crafter, every single, like, let's say you were making blasters, right? Every single blaster you made had different stats. and they had a unique serial number, and that's why they had some weird database problems with that game. Because
it's like, only imagine how many what the blaster table looked like in that database.
Yeah, man, like wow, you know, we've made 10,000 blasters to level up. You know,
well, that was the cool thing. That was so cool about that, though, because then people were like, oh, where do you buy your blasters from? Well, I get my blasters from this vendor over here because he always uses the best materials.
No, it was cool. And you'd get reputation, like not point-wise, but like, you know, within the community, you would be known as, you know, a very good crafter, and people would go see you and they would supply you with stuff. And it was actually quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely MMO-y things that I hated about it, but I, like, on the whole, as far as like living in a universe and doing like things in a Star Wars game that were all Star Wars-y, like it did all those things for the most part rather well.
And the space combat was not horrific.
It wasn't
super great, but it was not bad.
They added that way late in the
game. No,
game's
it was
life.
The second expansion though.
Really?
It was the first expansion, Jump to Lightspeed, the very first expansion they ever did. And then after that, they did the whole, like,
it took them
Moose Jafarian crap, and then Rage of the Wookiees, and all this other stuff.
I played one of the Hammerhead dudes. It was awesome.
Nice.
The Ithorians.
Yeah. They got two mouths.
I freaking loved playing that guy. It was awesome. Yeah, and then they brought like a Kashyyyk expansion where you had to run around like Wookiee Town, and that was kind of weird.
Really? Yeah, so there was an Empire Divided, which was the base game, then there was Jump to Lightspeed, Rage of the Wookiees, Trials of Obi-Wan, and then they implemented a trading card game system, which I'm like, ugh.
What?
But you remember, though, when there were no Jedis in that game? You just couldn't be, and you had to do stuff. There was like hidden secret shit in the game, and you had to like collect all the holocrons and do the whatever, you know.
You had to like master three different things, and then you could try and test to see if you're force sensitive, and if you were, you got to play as a Jedi.
But it was totally random.
It was totally random. Like you could do all those things and not get it, and you'd have to like re-roll a new character and try again.
Right, and that kind of sucks.
That's kind of shitty.
It makes sense, right? Because there aren't that many Jedi.
That's true.
During that time period, there wasn't a lot of Jedis, but that's what made it like so much more interesting. Was not everybody was running around going, "Look at me, I've got a lightsaber." But then, like down the road, when they implemented the new game enhancements, Jedi became a class, and then like you couldn't like shut them up. I was just like, guys, go play like Jedi Academy or something like that if you want to dick with lightsabers, or, you know, which of course now they can just go play the Old Republic and have lightsaber duels all day long. Play some Hutball. Let's go play some Hutball, guys.
Oh my god.
What?
Yes, that's god. The that's the okay, well, since Brian's never played an MMO in his life, he doesn't know. But did you play Warcraft?
World of Warcraft.
Okay,
in,
so you remember
like
in
6 months?
Okay, so in Warcraft, did you play during a period when they had PvP arenas where you would go in and play like capture the flag and shit? Hutball is capture the flag.
What?
Essentially, in the X-Men Danger Room.
Basically, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard it put like that. That's awesome.
But it makes perfect sense. It's totally it.
Yes.
Yeah, you're in an arena that actively tries to kill you, and you're trying to capture the ball and run it to your goal.
What? Yeah, like one person has the ball, and they're trying to run for it, and then it's all a PvP battle zone, but like, you know, you're trying to score points on a board. It's so weird.
That sounds fucking retarded.
Yeah, welcome to Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yep.
See, the reason I never played Galaxies is, one, I was mired in Jumpgate at the time, and since Galaxies didn't have a spaceship, whatever. And even when they got the spaceship, I was playing Jumpgate, which, you know, was the best at what it did at the time. So I was like, whatever. Yeah, Alex is right. Like, something like Rebel Galaxy in Star Wars. Imagine.
Yeah.
How awesome would that be?
Or even something like, you know, Star Wars in like an Elite Dangerous kind of way, where like you have to go
like that. Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they've got all kinds of ships already and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole underworld there that's very developed.
Right? Give me Privateer, but in the Star Wars universe, in like the original trilogy area where things are a little grimy and run down, and give me like a YT-300 that I have to upgrade, you know, that I inherited from my uncle or something, and boom, just let me go. And that's what
Your name is Ace, and you're part of a thing, and then you're...
Shut up. Yeah, your name is Ace, and you have to inspect 300 cargo containers, and then, wait, some of them are going to get stolen. God, that game.
But I mean, like, all the elements are there, right? Like, there's bounty hunters, there's smugglers, there's legitimate traders, there's explorers, but, like, there's all these people.
It was terrible. That part of the game was terrible. I'm sorry, Hunter, I know you love it. I know.
Well, that was my introduction to Space Sim games, okay? Because I came to the market at a young, late... time.
So what Privateer was your first?
No.
Alliance.
Alliance. Oh, okay.
You know what? You could have started with worse. You could have started with something like Renegade Battle for Jacob Starr or Darklight Conflict or Fragile Allegiance. You could have started with something way worse. So, you know, on the grand scheme of things, you started with a good one.
Yeah, and I mean to be honest, I don't have negative memories of Alliance except for the fact that my computer couldn't play the last mission well.
It's 2v2 on the X-Wing Alliance scale. Yeah, it's
funny. I remember when we talked about Alliance, Jim was playing it. Remember this, Jim?
Shoot and the pipes.
We didn't know. You didn't know.
Right, we didn't know. Shoot the pipes.
So you just kept running in.
I was like, this game, this is bullshit. Yeah.
And then someone told me after, you know, you can shoot those. Oh,
no.
You can't shoot up pieces of the freaking Death Star. Come on, guys.
What?
It's like they never shot the pipes in the freaking game. Movies. What the fuck?
The pipes took the radar dish off. Yeah, that's why it's different in the new movie.
Yeah. I like that they did that. They replaced the radar dish.
Yeah, I do like that too. And yeah. I can't wait to see more of the Falcon flying around. That's exciting.
Oh, yes.
So yeah. That's fun.
Thank you, Eddie Izzard. That was such an Eddie Izzard.
You're welcome. That was pretty good.
I'm seeing him this Saturday night, actually.
Oh, you guys are seeing each other.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You're dating now? That's incredible, man. Yeah. I'm really happy for you.
You know, I'm really excited about it. The girlfriend is thrilled. but
he's gonna be in that new Simon Pegg movie too, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm excited with anything with him in it. But yeah, it's weird. Like, there's a lot of that's cool, Jill, that you're seeing him too. There's a lot of like wasted opportunity, really, in Star. I mean, at least Star Trek tried every now and again to have something a little like maybe with Bridge Commander a little bit and like. Not every mission in Starfleet Command was combat. You had some like sciencey stuff, you know, here and there.
The Elite Force games, like those were some good first person shooters.
Exactly.
Of course, Star Wars had some good first person shooters too, like with the original Dark Forces and Dark Forces 2, and it kind of went to like more of a third person mess with the other two.
Right. You know, we haven't talked about Battlefront. Is what we haven't talked about.
Yeah, it's true. We haven't talked about Battlefront, which I never really got into the first one very much, but I love the second one.
The old Battlefronts, yeah. But I'm not looking forward to the new one.
The new one has there's concerns, shall we say?
Why are there? I haven't really been following. Why are there concerns about the new one?
It's like so far with all the things that they've confirmed, it's pretty featureless. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
Like, no, I think you're not, you can't pilot the AT-ATs.
Well, they're going to DLC that in, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. There's no space now, right now, I think. Yeah. Or is there?
Yeah. How about no?
There's no space.
How about no space, Scott?
That's one of the reasons I like Battlefront 2 so much.
That's
I mean,
why
the space,
everybody liked it.
And the space wasn't perfect. You know, it wasn't TIE Fighter or anything, but it was
no
fun.
There's no bots? No bots.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Everything that made the game good is not going to be there.
Oh, really?
Essentially, yes.
Well, that kills any trace of excitement I had for that.
Yep. Well, that's you're now with the rest of the internet.
We'll just go back to playing Battlefront 2 or Game Ranger or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, if it looks like what it looks like, it's going to look pretty, but I don't know how well it's going to play.
I don't know if I want a game that just looks pretty. Like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not enough for me. Like, oh, look at these graphics. Yeah, but like, you're watching graphics at this point. That's stupid.
It's like, it's fun for
10 minutes. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go watch the new Star Wars movie instead.
You know, basically, you could just watch somebody play it on Twitch and be like, okay, I've had the experience.
Yeah, right?
It's like, yeah, it looks great. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, well, the experience.
Since Hunter, you mentioned it, how do we all feel about the new Star Wars movie coming out? Are we excited? Are we tepid? I mean, how do y'all feel?
Well, coming from myself, as a huge EU story fan person, like, I really enjoyed a lot of the EU stuff. I'm a little, like, upset on one hand, but, like, I'm also super ridiculously fucking excited on the other hand.
That's fair.
Right?
That's fair.
I'm still gonna go see it, and yeah. I'm still gonna be like, oh, so they decided to do that instead. Oh, okay, oh, they did this instead of this. Yeah. Or, this didn't happen, well, that one, that's interesting, or...
Yeah.
So what
it'll just be interesting, it'll be interesting to see, and I'm excited, but I'm also just kind of like, I also still have my love, I still have that stuff I can go back to and go, oh, remember this? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I say it over and over again, and we get emails about this on Star Wars Stacks, you know, people getting all upset, and I'm like, you know, and I think I even said it last time I was on this show, is no one's going to break into your house and set your bookshelf on fire. Everything's still there.
Yeah,
you know, like if you want to enjoy it, then you enjoy it. Like,
just look.
I guess Wikipedia, I think, has even split some stuff into legends and canon now.
Yeah, like nothing is going away.
So you can actually go and read about Han Solo in the Legends universe and what he was like there, and what he was like in the newer stuff. Which is funny because if you go look at Han Solo's page for like the new stuff, it's just like. Like a little like paragraph because nothing has really been written. Past...
Yeah, like it stops at Jedi, right?
So,
because even his backstory is not there anymore, right? All the young Han Solo stuff and
correct,
which yeah, I that... really love.
They don't because they're not sure about certain things anymore about him. But that's what I really liked about it.
I think the deal is in the new movie, it's Luke or not Luke, Leia and Solo's kids, right? So, and it's like the girl and the black stormtrooper. And then Leia had some explaining to do. And.
No, they're not all kids. Apparently, like, the girl is. We don't even know if she's related.
I'm pretty sure the girl is the daughter.
They haven't told us her last name.
Oh, okay. And then you have the black stormtrooper guy, and then you have that X-Wing pilot. Apparently those three are going to be
the three big mains.
The rumor mill spilling around that potentially either the X-Wing pilot is a brother or the Sith guy that's in this movie is a brother or somehow related to some of the old cast. Apparently.
The pilot guy looks a little bit like Wedge Antilles to me.
Well, so... the guy, they asked the Wedge guy to be back in it apparently and he said no.
Dennis he said Lawson no. Said no. What's he doing?
He said no.
Yeah. I was gonna say,
what's his story?
What is he busy with? Broadway?
Like he was the only non like main character that was in all three films. Like what?
And he was awesome, and he survived, and he was great, and I love him.
What about Porkins? They could have brought Porkins back. Is like
Porkins died. That's canon. It's on the screen.
No. It could have been his cousin.
He ejected.
It could have been his bounty hunter cousin, Bubba the Hutt. Bubba Fett. Yeah.
Let's get retcon Porkins. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way you do, Hunter, but the thing I'm going to miss the most from the Expanded Universe that I wish would have showed up in the films is Admiral Thrawn. I really wanted him to somehow be involved because he was great in TIE Fighter. He was amazing in the books. You know, I'm like, I love this character. I want to see more of this character. And yeah, it's just,
The problem. So problem with what Lance just said, he said Ahsoka Tano, he has a feeling she'll pop up. The thing is though, is we haven't seen the full effect of her in Rebels yet, have we?
Oh, she's in Rebels. Nope.
She's no comment.
She's in Rebels.
Yeah, I forget because I haven't seen that far. I haven't seen that far yet. She's in Rebels.
I wonder if we're gonna have to have like a token of every alien that was a Jedi in Episode 3.
Like Ahsoka was amazing in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, by the end of Clone Wars, she did really well. She wasn't calling anyone Sky Guy anymore. And...
she kicked ass. Oh god, I forgot about Sky Guy. That was so ridiculous at first. At the beginning. It was so nuts. Sky Guy. What the fuck?
I mean, I'm excited, and the more stuff that gets released, all this like Vanity Fair stuff that keeps very slowly coming out every time you hear something new, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. Except for the Andy Serkis's name, that's ridiculous. But
there
he's going to be a space monkey, I think.
I did think something was interesting. Wasn't it Shadows of the Empire that had the Black Sun?
Yes,
yes,
and they showed up.
So this is Clone Wars
for a couple of episodes.
Yes.
Well, this is what I have some curious questions on, because I don't think this has been officially answered either, which is, as far as they said, like, everything that's not the movies or the TV shows or the new books and comic books that are being written, everything else is not canon, right?
Yes.
But my question is this. Back in 96 or whatever it was when Shadows of the Empire came out, it was a whole LucasArts, like, affair.
It was a multimedia experiment.
It was like a movie without the movie, right, is what they were calling it.
Yeah.
So you had the video game, the soundtrack, the book, the comic book, the toy line.
That's right.
What is this?
There's even rumors that Shador whatever was in episode one, apparently, somewhere.
Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which we talked about way back when.
Right.
It was a book, and it was a game, and...
That, I think, should be considered canon because of all of the shit, but...
Well, wait. So you said if it was on the screen, it was canon.
So the Black Sun...
the holiday special is canon, baby. And yeah.
Life Day for all.
Life Day for everyone.
So here's the thing, yeah, apparently the Black Sun is canon because it was in Clone Wars, but the main... character. What was the character's name?
Who
was
the head of that? Prince Shizor.
Yeah, he was not in the Clone Wars, so who knows what's going on there.
Well, he probably was a little younger then, but the thing with, or it could have been somebody else, but like the thing with Shizor was, in Shadows of the Empire, if I remember correctly, is he was trying to vie for, like, favor of the Emperor over Darth Vader or whatever it was.
Yeah, him and Vader were kind of like, exactly that. They were competitors for the Emperor's
graces. Vader hated that guy. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, Vader desperately hated him, and it resulted.
And the Emperor knew that, and so the Emperor just messed. He, like, the Emperor really loves, and you actually start seeing that in this Lords of the Sith book that just recently came out. The Emperor loves messing with Vader, and loves just screwing with his mind. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah.
What a dick.
I mean, you can actually see that in some of the other, like, EU books, too. You could see some of the things the Emperor would do that would just fuck with Vader.
So is that bit from Robot Chicken where Vader calls the Emperor?
What's an aluminum falcon?
What the hell's an aluminum falcon? Who the hell are they?
Is that good?
Wait, you've been floating around for 2 weeks? You must smell like feet wrapped in leathery burnt bacon.
And on a small tangent, did I ever tell you guys my Star Wars tattoo story?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Because AC Wraith brought up something about Sith tattoos. I was going to get... Remember in TIE Fighter when you're in the Order of the Emperor and they get the glowy tattoo?
Yes.
I was going to get that tattoo. I was going to get it on my arm, the full whole thing. I was going to get it. So I got a henna version of it because I always do that to test them out, see how they look before I get the real thing. And so I show it to people, and they're like, that looks like anti-Semitic stuff, dude. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's TIE Fighter.
Man. It's TIE Fighter. No, apparently there's part of the triple thing, looks very similar to a symbol used by the SS in World War II in Germany.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm not even kidding. I found it on Wikipedia. I'm like, okay, I have to rub this off my arm right fucking now. I am not wearing a short sleeve shirt for 2 fucking weeks because that stuff doesn't come off right away. And
it's like getting a swastika tattooed on your forehead.
It basically was similar to that. It basically was, so if you're going to get a tattoo, people, do a henna first and then ask your friends about it. Don't just get it because you might get something like, didn't that guy, wasn't there a guy who thought he got like strength in Hebrew tattooed in his arm, but it really said matzah?
Probably. It was all that.
Yeah.
Or like all the Japanese characters or.
Yeah. See, when I got my Chinese tattoo, I got the characters from a calligrapher first to make sure it was correct.
It's like, at least ask a Chinese person first.
You know? Exactly. I paid for the calligraphy from an actual Chinese calligraphy company who gave me the right characters.
Yeah, so it's not
it
like...
It says you're a pussy on your arm right now. I don't understand what that
it's
means.
Like, I have no dick.
God damn it, I thought it said something else. I thought it said serenity. So, yeah, don't get the TIE fighter tattoo, people, if you're interested. Just don't do it. Just it's anti-Semitic. And now that I think of it, it's like, did they intend that
Probably. I mean, the Empire was modeled on some combination of the Nazis and the USSR and, you know, everything that was.
It's weird, though. It reminds me of that who the hell are they? Those British guys where they have a sketch show. No. It's Mitchell and Webb, and they have a sketch where they're these Nazi Germans, and they're talking about how the war's going, and the one's like, wait a minute, are we the bad guys? We're the bad guys, aren't we? And it's the whole sketch about realizing that they're the bad guys and how terrible that is. But I never had that thought in TIE Fighter, you know?
And I think that's one of the successes of TIE Fighter, is that they make you not feel like the bad guy.
Exactly. I'm going to just say I think TIE Fighter is the best Star Wars game ever made.
Oh, I think so. Like, for me, it's from a gameplay perspective, from, like, everything that makes
story
sense.
Story perspective.
Yeah, TIE Fighter's a better game. But for me, X-Wing is a more memorable game, personally, because I was so excited about it.
That's fair. It did come out first. It did kind of lay the path for TIE Fighter.
Yeah, but whenever I got that issue of PC Gamer that had TIE Fighter on the front, right? And I'm like, oh my god, they're making a sequel! You know, because that was like the when you'd find out what was going to actually exist, right? You'd have to see it on the magazine stand because no internet. I was just like, I saw a TIE Fighter on a PC Gamer cover, and it was like, holy shit, what? And yeah.
And you know, like, for me, all the questions started. Like, yeah, but TIE Fighters, like, they blow up in two shots. And yeah, well, they do, but they made it work.
And you still do blow up in two shots.
Yeah.
But that's kind of why I like the game, because, you know, it's like you have to fly, you know, carefully.
It puts you on edge. And you have to fly on the edge of your seat of your pants all the time. Right.
Like, and with the X-Wings, it was just like, you know, they would overwhelm you and, like, beat your shields down and stuff. And with the TIE Fighter, it's just like, oh, it only takes one X-Wing to kill you. You know, you just don't pay attention for a moment and you're dead.
Or a damned A-Wing with freaking missiles.
Yes.
And jinking and juking and fast and small profile. And I hate A-Wings.
Oh, God. I'm with you there. Now, I'm going to put this in the Twitch chat. If you look at the symbol on that page, it's like kind of in the middle. It's basically this symbol. If you look at that, you'll see it's kind of similar, and that's a symbol of the 27th SS Division.
Wait, nice. Which one?
That one. I put it in the Twitch chat too. Yeah. See what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's similar. Reminiscent. It's similar enough that it made me really uncomfortable.
So, oh, are you talking about that black one?
Yes.
Okay, yes. So for anybody who's wondering in chat, it's this one.
I put it in the chat.
Oh, well, when I clicked on it, it took me to the full page.
Yeah,
not
the full
JPEG.
Page of about a million of them.
Oh, no. That's weird.
Yeah. It's the actual JPEG.
Well, okay, just because it's an SS symbol doesn't make it anti-Semitic. Fine, but I don't want a goddamn SS symbol on my goddamn arm. So I kiboshed that idea. That was really sad because I was really looking forward to that one. You know? Now I'm just going to get an Empire symbol at some point. Because that's a lot less dubious. It looks like a gear. Did we just lose someone?
Nope.
Oh, yes, we did. We lost him.
Uh-oh. I'm back. Hello.
He's back.
That was weird. Well, we've been talking for a while, guys. You should probably wrap this up. We've been talking for about 2 hours? A little over two
Something
hours?
Something like that.
Holy shit.
So, let me ask you.
It's 12:15 over here, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my God. I'm sorry, guys.
So.
What are we going to ask, Jim? We'll wrap it up with this.
Yes. So, away from the topic of Star Wars, let's talk about Elite for a moment. Okay. So, what do you think? Have you played the 1-3?
I've played Power Play. The changes they've made to the bounty hunting system, I liked, because they made it so the AI will try not to fly in your line of fire anymore. And out of all the combat I've done, which has only been about 3 hours, I didn't get one friendly hit.
Oh, that's
so that
cool.
That was nice. Power Play itself, eh.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel it. You know, it's like, well, the thing that's interesting to me, though, is because now if I declare a faction or whatever, then I can actually go into a system and find enemies to kill they don't have to be wanted. They can just be like on my shit list. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I did notice that, which is kind of interesting.
I went to Earth, right? And there was because they added a new thing to whenever you go to your contacts list, there's like agents or whatever that, you can do faction missions,
right?
Basically,
yeah,
so
sure.
So they were like, okay, well, we're going to undermine the president of Earth because you know, with like raid their cargo ships and get whatever, you know. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of cool, right? So that gives me like a license to be a dick around Earth. Otherwise, there's no reason to be there, right? Because
there's really nothing going on. It's the stations are really pretty.
Yeah, they're pretty. But
what's the deal with that one station that supposedly like takes 2 hours to fly to?
Oh, that's an Alpha. That's an Alpha Centauri.
Hmm.
I forget the name of it right now. Something.
Apparently, if you go there, you get a free ship. But maybe I'm being lied to.
I don't know about that, but it's like several thousand light seconds from the gate, so it takes like 45 minutes to fly there. Yeah, like real time. So it's very far from the gate.
God, you like run out of fuel getting there.
Yeah. You need to make sure you have enough fuel to get there. But other than that, I'm kind of excited about the changes that 1.3 is bringing. The faction stuff is not that great, I didn't think. At least what I've done with it so far. Like, oh, I got to fly the propaganda around. Okay, zippity doo. But apparently it's coming out next week. I thought it was coming out this week, but apparently it's coming out next week.
Yeah, it needs a little time in the oven.
Yeah, they did another update announcement or something like that today or something like that.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
I have not yet been able to find a Diamondback to buy.
Oh, I haven't either.
I want to try one, and you would think they would make it prevalent so that people could try the frickin' things.
Apparently it's going to be about 500,000 credits, they're saying. It's going to be like the step up from the Viper.
Oh, well, that's interesting, then.
That's what I read. I'm not sure about that.
It's somewhere between a Viper and a Vulture.
Yes. That's what they're saying.
Oh.
And it's going to have apparently better jump range than either of them, which is good because the jump range on both those ships is shit. It's got like a spit cup for a fuel tank. It's like, okay.
Although the Viper, I've upgraded everything to tier 3 stuff or tech 3 stuff or whatever it is, and I get like decent jump range.
Yeah, I guess I haven't done it on the Vulture much because I swear I had to scoop every star on a long trip.
Well, what's your jump range on it?
Oh, like 10.
Yeah, see, I got 12 up on the Viper.
That's still...
That actually makes a difference.
Yeah, but still, on a long trip, you're still going to be scooping a lot.
Because
the fuel tank is not that big.
I don't know, man. If you outfit... Because my Vulture's got all, like, Class A stuff on it. I get, like, 17, something like that.
Oh, okay.
It goes a lot further than... Yeah.
I have not fully outfitted it yet. I should, but I haven't.
See, that's the reason I'm bored with the game, is because I have an A-spec Vulture. There is no ship in the game that is better than the damn Vulture. You know? And especially since we've had this beta going for 2 weeks, and you can go buy an Anaconda for 100 credits. So I've flown every ship in the game with, like, the best armaments and you know, decked out. And just nothing touches that Vulture. So I have no reason to want to upgrade.
Yeah, the that's kind of the whole OP. Point, right?
Yeah, that's one of the whole points of a game like Elite is to get better ships. And apparently the Vulture is more fun to fly than the Fur de Lance. You know, apparently the Fur de Lance has more lethality, but it also flies a lot more sluggish than the Vulture.
Yeah, and I don't really like it. In fact, that's what I was flying today. Was a Fur de Lance.
Fur de Lance?
Yeah, I had like four beam lasers on it, you know, twos, I guess is what it fits. The only thing that's really fun about the Fur de Lance is you can have a size 4 cannon on it.
Ooh.
That's kind of scary. The thing is, in a Vulture, I can kill an NPC Anaconda and a Rez in like 30 seconds.
Sure.
And I don't need a class 4 cannon to do it. But if I got a class 4 cannon, I can kill him probably in 20. So, you know, just target that power plant, wham, wham, and he's gone.
Oh, also the other nice thing about 1-3 are the high-intensity resource extraction zones. I did find a couple of those.
Yeah, now...
And those are great.
The thing I was excited about, and I'm kind of cooled off on now, is the drones. Because I was like, okay, the mining drones are going to be cool. I've used them. They had a problem. Maybe they've patched it by now, where the drones would actually commit suicide on the hull of the ship. Like, it would be like,
Hey, what?
Yeah, they would. Well, if you had two drones that tried to dock at the same time, they'd ram each other and blow up.
Ram each other. Right?
Yeah.
What?
So they were a little dumb.
It is a good day to die.
Yay but for AI.
Yeah, but it was awesome, though. Okay, so you're mining, right? And you're just, like, drilling away. I had a Type 9, right? And you're just drilling away at this asteroid. And I put a survey probe out on the asteroid. So it shows you what the mineral content of the asteroid is and how much is left, right? So it's nice because then you know, like, okay, this asteroid's dried out of platinum. I'm moving on. The problem though is like you're drilling the asteroid and you keep launching out probes or drones rather to gather up the chunks and you're supposed to have them last, with a class A, it's supposed to be like 12 minutes per thing. Right. But because they were murdering each other, it was, you know, seconds for most of them. So I could only do like one at a time. Right.
Yeah.
And then you continuously have to manage your ore refinery. So it's like, oh, this mineral is unallocated. It's like, yeah, because we just filled 1 ton of gold. I just picked up another piece of gold. Now I'm at like 5%. Oh, it's unallocated. So I have to go in there and touch it. You know, stupid.
What?
It's every time you fill the hopper and it dumps into the cargo bay, the next time you pick up that thing, then there's no slot in the refinery that has gold in it right now. So it's like, well, what do you want to do with it? And I think it should be like, hey, is there a frickin' open slot in the refinery? Good. Stick it in there. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, but they make you micromanage that damn thing. Well, the thing
was... Or at least
was,
have like an advanced refinery or something that might have that as a feature. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, and just be able to tune it and just be like, oh yeah, you know, like I'm going to eject anything that's like granite. You know, I don't want lead or whatever, but keep the gold, keep the platinum, keep the silver, right? That would be great. But anyway, so I went out there and I was out there for like 2 hours and I only had like my one drone at a time. But I'm busting rocks, and the drone, when they fly out and they grab a fragment and then, like, turn around and zip back up, you know, into the belly of the ship, and then they go back out, it's got, like everything in that game, it's got really great sound effects. And, you know, so I got my headphones on, and I'm, like, listening to the probes flying around and stuff, and it's like, that's pretty neat. After 2 hours, I had, like, 4 tons of stuff. And I'm just like, wow, this is miserable. Like, I don't even have to manually scoop the stuff anymore, thank God. But I'm not making enough money. Like, I made, in 2 hours, I made as much as if I'd been in a res for 10 minutes. And it's just like,
really?
No, mining is not there yet. Yeah. Like, the thing that would make it for mining, because you have to find, there's only one place that's worth going, and that's if you find a planet with a metal ring. It has to be metallic. It can't be, like, high metal content or whatever. It has to be solid metallic ring, and it has to be pristine, whenever you look at the quality of, because if it's not pristine, then you're not going to get the percentage per chunk out of the stuff. It's going to be mostly rock and not the metal that you want. So trying to find that is like, forget it. So I went over to Zaonce, where it's like a middling kind of, but it's metallic. That first planet at Zaonce is a metallic ring. So, but I was only getting like 1%, 2% metal out of every fragment. So it was just like, oh God, I have to scoop forever to, So it sucks. So I guess it would be, you know, fly around until you find a pristine metallic, and
that's not
don't tell anybody else where it is, or they'll come bleed it dry.
That's
so,
not fun.
No,
that's kind of what I thought. Like, I did want to start doing some mining, and I was kind of under the impression that it wasn't quite as fun or worth the time at this point.
Not like an Eve, where you just go sit in a belt and walk away.
Exactly. Read a book, watch a movie.
Oh, God. Well, on that note, we've been talking, guys, for about 2.5 hours. We should probably wrap this up. Right. So, folks,
enjoy your movie.
Joe, thank you so much for, again, taking the time to talk to us about Star Wars games. We should have you back on more often to talk about this stuff, because it's fun. It is definitely fun. Folks, next week, I'm not entirely sure what we're going to talk about yet. I want to talk about joysticks, I think, because it's on my mind. So I think we'll talk about some hardware. So we might talk about that next week, but maybe not. So, thank you for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.